Show. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! That was a great hour of radio from Mark Levine, as they always are. Mark doesn't know how to do bad radio. So, thanks, Mark.
He's spot on.
I think he dares to indulge a little bit more, a little bit more optimism than I do. But maybe Mark's a little bit more optimistic guy. But his final advice, that is, keep working, keep pushing, do not assume anything about what's going to go down a week from today. God, I feel like a kid with an advent calendar. Don't make any assumptions. 50,000 people have been pulled off the rolls in Georgia. The Republicans are doing everything they can to spoil what's going on in Ohio to keep people from voting, to keep people from being energized. People stood in line for early voting in Clayton County, Georgia, for over 12 hours yesterday. Here's a hint. It wasn't a whole bunch of McCain voters. Why did they have to stand in line for way over 12 hours? Well, fact is, the funny, dodgy, hacked up, huckstered up, fraudulent electric voting machine doohickeys wasn't working quite right. The Republican Party surrenders nothing. The Republican Party is a party of scorched earth. So, be advised. And stay alert and stay awake. And again, I mentioned it last night. Let's mention it again. We'll be on the road Thursday. It is Seneca 2 lecture series time again, and we will be bringing that to you live from the campus of West Virginia State University in Institute, West Virginia. An address by Rabbi Arthur Waskow of the Shalom Center in Philadelphia. Among other things, Rabbi Waskow has been named by the United Nations a wisdom keeper. Among 40 religious and intellectual leaders who met in connection with the Habitat 2 conference in Istanbul. He's a winner of the Abraham Joshua Heschel Award by the Jewish Peace Fellowship. 2005, The Forward, the leading Jewish weekly newspaper in America, called him one of the Forward 50 as a leader of the Jewish community. Newsweek has named him one of the 50 most influential American rabbis. And the list goes on and on. I think we will hear some profoundly stirring words come Thursday evening. So I hope you'll all join in. And there will, of course, be an archive of it as well. So that's the Seneca 2 lecture series on the campus of West Virginia State University at Institute West Virginia, and Rabbi Arthur Waskow of the Shalom Center. Please make a note of it and be ready to go. You don't have to go anywhere. Just be ready to participate. And you know what? I'll have some sort of chat and email up and things like that. There's always a question and answer series portion after these addresses. If you do have questions, shoot them to me, and I will see to it that the moderators of the program receive them so that your questions can be answered as well. I had some stuff I wanted to start with, but we've got a caller on the line, and I hate to keep people waiting. Welcome to the program.
Would that caller be me?
That caller would be you, Reverbo.
Well, there's so much going on. Well, we've got ourselves a couple of nuts running around, a couple of Nazis running around in top hats, I guess.
don't you love the image? Nazis in white tie and tails?
Did they get this idea listening to your show or reading the collection?
Now, you stop that.
Martin Luther King? Where do you get ideas like this? We were going to have ourselves a bloodbath, though, it sounds like.
Yeah, 88 and 14.
Yeah, I'm not
those
really
are magic,
up on the,
those are magic yeah, Nazi numbers.
I'm not up on those particularly.
So one of them has something to do with the numerology of Adolf Hitler's name and A-D-O-L-F-H-I-T-L-E-R. No, that's a lot. I don't know. These dumbasses probably can't count either, Reverbo. I mean, you know what we're dealing with here.
But they certainly know how to shop, and that's...
Well, white tie and top hats.
So, and all our Wesley, before we get into this much more, I guess, do we need to have a moment of silence for Senator Ted Stevens?
Oh, if we can maintain any silence. But then again, the moment of silence has been observed for the last 2 days on Fox News, Reverbo. There has been not a word said about his conviction over there.
I thought the judge had let them out until Election Day. They came back in a hurry with his verdict, it seemed like to me.
Yeah, guilty, why bother? Interesting, though, that the judge has not set a sentencing date. And that brings up and I'm not sure that this is legally correct. I'm just guessing here. But I saw questions over at Think Progress and Crooks and Liars, you know, the folks that some of the sites that I check out about, you know, can Senator Stevens vote for himself now? And it's an interesting proposition because that's the ticket, as far as I understand. The jury returned the verdict, but that does not render a final judgment in a criminal case. It's only a final verdict when the judge says it's final.
I see.
So as it stands, he will probably remain, I'm guessing, free to vote for himself until the verdict is rendered final.
I heard some craziness that being a convicted felon does not mean you can't be a Senate, vote in the Senate, or be a...
No, it's not. It is not a prevention of being in the Senate. And just as being an impeached federal judge does not prevent you, one, from sitting in the United States House of Representatives, as Alcee Hastings of Florida does.
That's a wiggly world, man.
All kinds of it, yeah.
So these guys, these two skinheads, I started thinking about this... a topic on your show before that is always interesting is the way how all the big picture gets polarized by both sides. Like you were talking about how Sarah Palin, when she was asked the question of whether or not so-and-so might be a terrorist, which I guess it all depends on what your concept.
Well, you know, it depends on what the definition of terrorist is.
Oh, yeah, really. And this guy... that I may have emailed you something about this guy. His name is Richard Hofstetter, and I guess he died in 1970. He was this historian, and he wrote all sorts of political stuff about, like he wrote about violence, and he wrote about, for example, this one book was called The Paranoid Style. And it's this concept that where when you have, like, internal terrorism or political violence, it tends to come from, or at least in the United States lately, it has come from people who identify with the right? The attacks in Tennessee, the Unitarian Church, the attacks in Arkansas, the Democratic Party headquarters, right? These people I totally identified with
Timothy McVeigh.
Oh yeah, with, these are not leftist leaning folks. Although not that the left hasn't perpetrated violence in the past, of course they have, but recently they haven't. And this guy's whole premise is, and I started thinking about this with these two nuts today, that the people who think like this, they tend to imitate, they tend to resemble the conspiracies that they conclude or imagine threatens themselves.
Well, it's
resemble the people they claim to hate.
Yes, absolutely.
And so it blows this distinction.
It's, well, I mean, isn't that what we mean when we talk about transference on a psychological basis, Reverbo?
Oh yeah, yeah. You can't. Who is your enemy and who is your friend? Like, and then you start thinking about these Republicans and how angry they are and how polarizing and how repressive they are in their fight against terror, you know? And suddenly in this rhetoric that they're spewing, you know, the only good blank is a dead blank. And I mean, they appeal to, they totally twist everything, the security and authority, and they use freedom in these bizarre ways. And I don't know. It started getting me thinking that this guy was onto something. These people are so damn paranoid. It's just frightening, you know.
Well, and they're paranoid based upon, you know, this is one of those onions, you know, layers and layers and layers, Reverbo. Because John Dean, in that book he wrote a couple of years ago, Conservatives Without Conscience.
Right.
He relied heavily on the data and the research of another individual who did extensive research into authoritarian mindsets. And so it's the toxic coupling of fear and authoritarianism and bigotry and prejudice. You know, it's this, you know, we've seen this movie before.
Well, we have. It seems to cycle in and out.
You select an other, you know, in those air quotes, the other, whether it's Muslims, gay people, atheists, Jews,
commies,
sure.
Liberals.
And without fail, the other has to be largely powerless and otherwise insignificant were they not drawing attention to it. And it's all a great big straw man debacle where they, you know, oh look, you know, we're fighting against microbes. And really that's the extension of it, because the next thing that happens is you have war on nouns.
Yeah. Every now and then you'll get something like 9/11 and they'll just use that as
right. But that generates a war on terror. And there's a war on drugs, and there's a, and, you know, going back to LBJ, there was a war on poverty. And I think there's a fundamental failure in the analytical process that informs all of that, because it by its very definition, it suggests that war is a viable answer. That's like, I'm guilty of it. I've caught myself a dozen times where, you know, oh, well, there's a real bloodbath on Wall Street today. No.
Oh, yeah. Look at the terminology people use. It's like I think I mentioned to you one time, well, recently, and I mean, it's not that people are against. Sometimes violence has to be met with violence. Sometimes there is no other way. You have to shoot somebody. But Jesus, we got to make sure we shoot the right guy.
I can't start shooting.
You know?
No, or well, not and have any hopes of getting it right.
Like they've been doing, this country is acting like the old Soviet Union to me, just stomping around, just being repressive. They're repressive here at home. They're stomping all over the world, and they're just shooting and asking questions later. Well, this is all going to change in a couple of months. It absolutely has to.
Well, and that's a function of. What you were talking about a couple of minutes ago, you know, you said the old Soviet Union. God, you know, the fact that the TASS, I mean, Fox, can't bring itself to mention the conviction of Ted Stevens. You know, this is, again, this is, I don't know. We've talked about the Tinkerbell theory of governance. Maybe this is the Eeyore corollary. You know, thanks for noticing me, or not. You know, as long as the Repiglick and Faithful don't notice it, it's not real. As long as Fox doesn't report that Ted Stevens is a dirty, filthy, stinking crook, then he's still as pure as the driven Alaska slush. Mush, whatever.
As long as six white billionaires control the mass media.
Yeah, sure.
Most people don't really have a prayer. I was thinking, who exactly is in whose pocket? Is our government in the corporate pocket, or is the corporations in our government's pocket, or doesn't it matter anymore?
Oh, no, they're all just playing pocket billiards with themselves, if you know what I mean. Everybody, the corporate media is in the pocket of the rest of corporate America. Corporate America is in the pocket of the politicians, a majority of whom are receptive to that kind of BS. So, you know, everybody's in everything, and it's more of a circle. But I don't want to go there because it's too early in the program.
I agree. Bishop Bob does not go there. It's sad that people don't, if they keep you stupid and they keep you distracted, people just don't remember that it wasn't always like this. And not only that, that this way is the wrong way. You know, that you know, there are things, there is something known as a historical perspective, and there are things you can learn about the United States. And this ain't the way it's supposed to be.
No, and Mark Levine was right in the previous hour when he was talking about the right wing's worship of ignorance.
Exactly.
And, you know, when O'Reilly on air, just a classic case of O'Reillyism, admits, you know, you can't appeal to the mind of the American people. They don't understand. You have to appeal to their emotions. Huh? Well, you know, calling Dr. Freud, I guess he's right. Or at least he's right as far as the underlying motivating philosophy of something like Fox and other right-wing media are concerned. We're not going to appeal to your brains. We're just going to tell you he's a commie.
Well, hey, it works for propaganda minister Himmler. It'll work for you.
Sure. And, you know, I was going to mention anyway, and you've kind of taken me there, our good buddy Eugene Finnerman pointed out that we've got a rather auspicious anniversary today, this 28th of October. He notes that nature may abhor a vacuum, but it was amused by Benito Mussolini. And on this day in 1922, Mussolini and his black shirts wore out their Guccis, marching on Rome to demand control of the government, and surprised that any Italian even cared, the government promptly even gleefully capitulated. October 28th, 1922.
Oh, man, I wasn't paying attention. Look at me.
So,
well, Mussolini ended up swinging from a lamppost, didn't he, at some point?
Yeah, upside down, him and his girlfriend, I think.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, Eugene notes that Mussolini may very well be revered as the inspiration for reality television. You know, what happens when the most ridiculous man in Italy wants to run the country? You let him! And he said in the year 2000, the show obviously was syndicated in the United States.
Well, people are glued to their sets, no doubt. Oh,
man. So, you know, there's... I like bookends, Reverbo. And there's... You got yesterday, people who think... Yesterday, a couple of idiots who probably think Benito Mussolini was an okay dude were accidentally caught hatching a plot to kill a presidential candidate. And today's the anniversary of a fascist taking power. And a week from today, we get to take one small step at getting our feet on the throats of the fascists of the modern era. It's not a step toward, I mean, it's nothing but a step. It's not the actual crushing of it, because Lord knows we got them in the Democratic Party as well as the Republican. But if we can complete, for this cycle at least, a real good gut stomping of the right wing, we've got a credible start, because you've even got he bailed out in March. He was a guy who was going to run for the Republican Senate seat being vacated in Colorado, and he bailed out, and he has said in a news article now, in an interview, that the reason he bailed out is that the extreme right wing of the Republican Party has completely taken it over, and he doesn't like it.
If he's telling the truth and we can believe him, then I appreciate those comments.
He said, in fact, he went so far as to say that it was easier for him to deal with Democrats than with the hard right wing of his own party.
Well, no doubt. Now, I don't know what's even... I can't even understand the Republicans.
Yeah, here's the guy. His former six-term Republican Congressman, Scott McInnes.
Scott McInnes.
Yeah. He said, I would have beaten Udall. That wasn't the issue. Frankly, I have more difficulties with the right wing of my party than I do with taking on a Democrat. Udall was not the biggest threat I faced in the election. My biggest threat was getting through the primary. So,
well, yeah, come on, he's in that state with those knuckleheads in Colorado Springs to focus on the family.
Sure, and so the challenge is before us. Will we?
It'll be fun. Lacing up the boots. I can just feel the necks under the. And how about we'll do the bookends? How about the jack? Maybe we'll wear jack boots for the crush.
Hobnails.
How about that? That'd be good.
But that's the heart and soul. You know, it's the transference you were talking about. They're screaming commie, socialist. When there's been a negative socialist redistribution of, negative socialist. I guess that in algebra, that means fascist, right? A fascist redistribution of wealth upward for the last 8 years. And nobody's been, with notable exceptions, been running around pointing out that the right wing had gone completely where right wings go. That is, to the loony fascist fringes. But, you know, Democrats don't, you know, our candidates don't run out and go, hey, these guys are fascists, because then they can't have the campaign money and stuff like that.
He has somehow, even Obama's people haven't stomped all over. I mean, look how easy a target John McCain could have been for just really, I mean, nasty but truthful stuff. And he's just been really careful to just pretty much stick to the issues. He's reacted, you know, well to attacks, but pretty much he's just deflected them, and he just let McCain and Palin just swing in the breeze for the fools they are. It's for everyone to see. Sort of like Mussolini from the lamppost. I love
McCain
too.
Wow. Oh, we've got an update in from Jay. She says that H is the eighth letter in the alphabet, so 88 is HH for Heil Hitler.
God, those people are brainiacs. Wow.
God, how much rot gut schnapps do you have to drink before you get there?
Man, oh, man. There's nothing like probably a case of that stuff to really sit down and work a plan like this out.
You know, and you get Pat, it's the A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. Okay, that's 8, 88. That's going to be our special number. And we'll wear white top hats and tails.
Well, you tie both of them together, and you didn't even have a 40-year-old, I don't think. One was like 18, and the other one was 20.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
From Tennessee and Arkansas. You know, that's the part that drives me nuts, Reverbo, is that sick of seeing this be Southerners. Doggone it. Quit playing into the stereotypes, please.
I know. Maybe I don't know what to do tell you about that. I mean, you know where I'm living. I'm down here in Possum Country myself, so it's not good. But there it is, though. There, for some reason, we have this geographic distinction in what? In knowledge? What sense does that make? Why can't you be thinking and studying and reading and developing your mind in Tennessee?
Well, that's the thing. They're doing it in Tennessee. I mean, my God, wonderful schools. The University of the South, Sewanee. Or you know, University of Tennessee, Memphis, University of Memphis. It goes on and on and on. And, you know, the same thing throughout the South. My God, you know, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, Duke, smaller schools like Appalachian State out there in Boone, North Carolina. There's plenty of educational institutions, and they're not all teaching right-wing hate. In fact, the majority of them are actually, because, you know, they're called the liberal arts for a reason, are teaching the exact opposite. But the problem is the number of people who can't, not who can, but who can't get in. I mean, the story I had a week or so ago about how the credit crisis is affecting college students' ability to get private student loans. Why do we have private student loans? This isn't a business opportunity. It's not supposed to be a business opportunity for the banks. It's supposed to be something that will contribute to our greater overall knowledge and make a brighter tomorrow. But, you know, cue the string section, you know, all that smarmy stuff.
Oh, yeah. This is for tree huggers and electric car drivers. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I know.
This is craziness. The story that they want to spin is that this is the normal way of things. This is the good way of things is for, you know, for a very few people to amass and control all the wealth and power, and the rest of us to be free, in quotes, free to be peons. That's the normal way of
things. Well, it's another case of them taking something perfectly innocent or a deep philosophical statement or a novel or a book or a movie, And thinking that it's actually a policy statement. You know, freedom's nothing more than nothing left to lose. You know, from what was it? Ode to Billy Joe. And they think it's, when you got nothing left to lose, you're really, really free. And now it's a GOP party platform plank. Take away everything, everybody's extra free.
I just don't like the way they twist it. They warp these words that really mean something to our country, at least. Remember, I heard this on Hartman today, and he has his own show. And Tom Hartman's great, but we have our show, and we'll just take it and develop this concept ourselves. But you have just touched on it. It's whoever controls the story drives or steers the ship. And so what they want to do is, and what they've been doing, is trying to convince us all that, you know, anything that we want to get, that the we the people story is socialist. It's anti-freedom.
Right. Yeah. I've got the audio from Rush Limbaugh saying, Barack Obama hates the Constitution. Oh, dear God. And I can't believe I just said Ode to Billy Joe. I meant me and Bobby McGee. My bad. Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose.
Yeah.
Me and Bobby McGee. Ode to Billy Joe has somebody throwing something off the Tallahatchie Bridge, but different thing. But you're right.
But that's the deal. It's you've got the this is the battle. It's the we battle versus the me battle. And it's evidently this has been, these things just cycle in and out, and evidently the people who always say no, and the people that always just say, like they use the word me, this inevitably ends in catastrophe. And the people the folks that, like, again, you got the Franklin Roosevelt model and the Thomas Jefferson model, the, you know, things for the common good and the we the people stuff, you yawn, you know, boy, break me when this is over. This kind of ends up leading to prosperity. Funny how that works out, huh?
Yeah, and see, I mean, you know, he's going to raise your tax. Nobody's talking about raising anybody's taxes. But it's they got nothing. That's all they got. He's a communist who's going to raise your taxes. And wait a second, this just in with a smattering of death to Israel.
God.
Yeah, kind of.
Your friend David. David K. Johnson, he brought up the fact that I believe it was the ancient Greeks that came up with the concept of progressive taxation just as a way to keep things fair, as a way to pay back the civilization that enabled you to become so damn wealthy. It kind of makes sense. It's kind of fair.
Well,
I was netting $250,000 a year, you know, and that meant I had to cough up a little, you know, kind of as a way of saying thanks for allowing me to do that. The people that complain about that, I mean, what can you say about them? You're complaining about this? You can move. You can open up your headquarters then, I guess, there's a whole lot of countries that you'd be happier in. I don't know. More thing for you.
Sure,
it's very sobering, and it really is food for thought, and it's about everything we've been talking about at least since Obama's been running. And as you know, I volunteer for him down here, and I've been volunteering for him since the primaries in the spring. And right now I'm on the dispatch desk at the transportation hotline. We're arranging to get people who don't have rides to the polls. And, boy, they really appreciate it. And I don't have to tell you or the listeners how every single vote counts.
Sure it does.
Oh, God.
Well, when you're starting from a deficit of 50,000, like in Georgia, it every vote counts even more.
Yeah, when the two Nazis were caught, when this story broke yesterday, I'm down there and I'm sitting there with a couple of friends of mine, and this one, it's kind of quiet. My friend turns to me and he says, "Do you believe in God?" And I said, "Well, you know my spiritual
possum goddess
meanings. I you probably stayed up all night reading that email. Like, you know, all I need, hey, listen, if I could just get another job, move, find another girlfriend, I wouldn't spend all my Friday evenings writing to you."
Well, you know, but at least there's an upside.
You get to read it. Did you enjoy Bad Religion? Were you familiar with that song?
Yes, I was. And it's
a killer song. But anyway, so here is this moment when this person asks you if you believe in God, and you go, well, I try to explain to him about the possum goddess, but I don't want to really go there. And I said, well, why? Where are you going with this? And he said, you know, this time it really is a battle between good and evil. This is the big battle. This is the defining moment. And Bob, I think he's right. They call every election recently has been this, you know, the ultimate election. We've never had one like this.
No, this one is
big one.
Frightening.
It is between love and hate. The contrast could not be clearer. You got one guy. What did they say about Superman? Like, strange visitor from another planet. You got a man who's half black and half white. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. It's so amazing.
We haven't seen anything like this since what was it? Frank Gorshin or somebody on the Star Trek episode? No, it wasn't Frank Gorshin, but you know who I'm talking about.
I'm not sure I do know what you're talking about.
Well, there was an episode where there was a person who was half good and half bad, and they fight it out for for supremacy in the universe. And
now I remember his half of his, literally, he was painted black and white. Yeah, I remember him, and they always seemed to be him running around the ship or something.
Yeah, right, yeah.
I remember that. Yeah, exactly.
Well, and the thing is, you know, there's it reminds me of something. Morgan Freeman in the Robin Hood movie that Kevin Costner made, where he says, was it Morgan Freeman? He says, "Pray louder,
yeah.
Christian, your God can't hear you." And, you know, you want to ask these fundies that question. If we get to Election Day and we win and we've got everything that we've asked for, you know, a filibuster-proof Senate, a profound majority in the House, the President of the United States, and, you know, start replacing justices and all of that stuff. If we've got that, then do we finally get to look at James Dobson and Donald Wildman and all of these other freaks and say, you know, apparently your God doesn't like you anymore? or if, you know, Proposition Hate out in California fails? Do we get to look at them and say, you know, do you think it's time to reassess where you stand on all this stuff?
Certainly the storms have not gone their way, have they? It called them down on us pagans, and it seems like the storms have struck them instead also.
Well, that's the thing I keep remembering is that this is all reminiscent of, you know, if you go into those for those myths and fairy tales, you know, this is reminiscent of Pharaoh. You know, God said, you know, let him say what he wants to say, and whatever he said, whatever he curses you with, you know, you're rubber and he's glue. It'll bounce off you and stick to him.
Mm.
And so all this wrath of God business, and it keeps happening to them. You know, we played, I guess it was Friday night in the anniversary program, we played that wonderful old promo we used to run where Peter said, God keeps punking Pat Robertson. and he does. And yet, you know, the very next day, they're right out there, right behind the camera. You know, Jesus wants us to keep people from voting. Jesus hates Acorn. Jesus doesn't like Barack Obama. And yet...
I don't know what Jesus they're talking about.
Me either.
They have eyes, yet they cannot see all of that nonsense. But don't be... Let everyone be aware. I believe this too. This is Star Wars time. This is good and evil. You got McCain. You can't get more dumbed down than McCain and Palin. I mean, these people are just like an immovable piece of sludge. No, I'll take that back. They're a piece of sludge that is running backwards in time. You got one side that refuses to go forward. They have no interest in moving forward, and the other side that wants to absolutely go
because
forward.
You ever seen somebody literally paralyzed by fear?
Yeah.
Well, the entire right wing of this country is paralyzed by fear. They can't. These people would have militated against electricity 100 years ago. You know, never mind the better to light a candle than curse the darkness. They weren't going to curse the darkness. They were perfectly happy with darkness. And they live that way. Their entire lives are darkness. It's darkness and it's fear and it's, well, you know, we can't actually talk to you. The only way to deal with the Iranians is to put them in darkness too.
I think the darkness is about to descend on those that deserve it. And, you know, how many times do you hold your hand out and say, hey, are you coming or not? Are you buying a ticket or not? Because really, this is the last bus leaving.
Yeah, well, you know, there we are.
I don't care about them anymore.
Well, there we are in the book again, though, Reverbo. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear me and open the door, I'd yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Hey, are you going to take calls on election night, or are you guys just going to...
Oh, no, yeah, that's the whole idea.
Okay, good.
I'm hoping that people who have worked in headquarters and who've canvassed and knocked on doors and, you know, hopefully people who have observed election polling places, the whole idea is to have everybody call in and come up with a sort of popular report on the nature of the election.
Oh, I can't wait. This is going to be great. Well, I should have a story or two. I'm working Monday.
I would imagine that you will. So, you know, it'll be the way we set it up is that, you know, we assume, you know, voting will be going on. There won't be a lot to report except about turnout numbers and the way things are looking. So, you know, Guy will handle that. Mark will have some of that. I'll have some of that. But then by the time my show ends, when 9 o'clock hits, there should be plenty, you know, by then. We'll even be getting close to poll closing time on the West Coast.
Oh, yeah, you will.
And if things, you know, the way the map's looking, you know, nobody, there's this gentleman's agreement, I guess, among the for-profit media that they won't call the election before California and Oregon and, you know, Washington, the, you know, Pacific time zone gets to vote. But damn, you know, If you're at 8 o'clock Eastern and Virginia's toppled, and Georgia's gone, and Florida's done, and New York and Pennsylvania, and on, how do you know?
Oh, it's over. It's done. Yeah, no one's gonna. It's party time. Yeah, there's been so much. The cool thing too is about this. The whole concept of the early voting. I think we're gonna find out how some states have gone much quickly than we used to in the past. Because they're already going to, like, there's so many people that already voted in North Carolina. It's just crazy. There's already lines 2 hours long this week.
Well, that's the story out of Clayton County, Georgia. Electronic early voting opened yesterday. And the polls officially closed at 7 p.m. last night. And people were still in line trying to vote hours later. In line for 12 hours. And bless their hearts, you know, some of the folks said, one person, Patricia Lewis said, it's okay, I stand in lines to shop. 6 hours to vote, nothing.
Yeah, let's hope they all remember that they don't get kicked out. They're in line, they get to stay.
But I love the excuses. Clayton County's election supervisor, and this is from a story at WSB-TV, Channel 2 in Atlanta. Clayton County's election supervisor, Annie Bright, said it was the state's fault that, get this, the computer mainframe the state uses to check voter registration became overwhelmed and didn't start working correctly until 4:30 p.m. And then the Secretary of State in Georgia said, no, it was Clayton County's fault that backups happen intermittently and they don't last long enough to cause eight-hour delays.
What are we doing, electing secretary and treasurer of a Boy Scout troop here, or what?
Yeah, you would think. I mean, this is nuts, because we know that 50,000 votes and at least 5,000 have been purged in Georgia. We know that at least 5,000 of those are legitimate, properly registered voters. And now it seems that they can't quite get their stories straight as to why it is that their little computer machines don't work and people stand in line to maybe vote for 12 hours. Because that's the thing that Brad Friedman has pointed out so consistently and so loudly, is that if you attempt to vote on a DRE, in other words, a touchscreen machine, if you attempt to vote on that, you have no even remote guarantee that you have voted.
Well, there ain't no receipt, I'll tell you that.
Well, even if there's a paper ballot, even if there's a paper trail, the paper trail's not what gets counted. If there's a recount, they push the button and it spits out the numbers again.
Well, I hope we do know who the next president's going to be November 5th. Maybe it's going to be, we won't know.
I mean, in this particular instance, there were people who arrived at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Monday and did not vote until 12:45 a.m. Tuesday.
That's insane.
And this is early voting.
That's insane. Well, I was just speaking of, you know, assuming that everything's on the up and up. We'll have East Coast. We'll have enough to go on the East Coast to maybe call this thing. Like you said, I mean, literally, McCain has to. If McCain doesn't win, a big Southern state goes to Obama, or a couple big, you know, or Ohio or Pennsylvania goes to Obama. McCain's done.
Well, consider the Eastern time zone is Ohio, it's Pennsylvania, it's New York, it's Michigan,
North Carolina,
South Carolina, Florida, Georgia.
This is that, yeah. So.
And you know, and that's, you know, without regard to, and I don't mean it that way, but. You know, there's your Maryland's in there, and Delaware, and all of Massachusetts, all of your New England states, and you throw in an Ohio or an Indiana, and suddenly, old Senator Grumpy's got real problems.
How many electoral votes you got in West Virginia?
Oh, we've got five.
Five. Well, yeah. West Virginia's in their own unique time zone, are they not?
No. We're Eastern. I was raised in the Central time zone, and I still think that the Eastern time zone is just icky.
I'm just trying to make a bad joke.
Oh, I know.
You're in the possum zone, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We are in possum standard time.
Possum standard time. All right, man. I'll let you go.
All right, we'll see you, Reverbo. Thanks.
You're welcome. Yeah, don't get more personal than this.
It's about a not much.
All right, take it easy.
Bye.
Talk
now.
Later.
Make it personal, Reverbo. Let's see, a quick message from News Ninja Gene. As bad as it is for the Democrat, makes me wonder what kind of perks the GOPers will get. Gene, what are we going to do with you? let's see what's going on here. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, this is Juanita.
Hey, Juanita.
We've had over 1 million people voting down here early.
To the point that Charlie Crist, I believe, extended early voting hours, did he not?
Did he? I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, signed an executive order today extending the hours for early voting. He said, I've spoken with the Secretary of State and members of the Florida legislature and have concluded that it is always the right thing to do to give voters every opportunity to cast a ballot. I have a responsibility to the voters of our state to ensure that the maximum number of citizens can participate. And so he says early voting sites will be open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. through Friday, October 31st, and for a total of 12 hours between 7 a.m. on Saturday, November 1st, and 7 p.m. on Sunday, November 2nd.
I think some people are asking him to let it stay open until Labor Day, till voting day.
Apparently that didn't go down. But
maybe it will. Who knows? I found out why we've only got just a few locations. We've got like two in this county that I know of. And this is a big county. But it's because, you know, we're under a Republican Congress and Senate here in Florida, have been for a number of years. And they didn't want to have any more.
So, yeah, okay.
That makes sense, doesn't it?
Well, it does.
Anyway.
But are you now, have you voted? Are you early voting?
Yes,
or
I have.
Okay. I thought I remembered you saying that you had, but I wasn't sure.
Well, I didn't know if I was going to get to it, but I did, you know. Our voting down here, the lines have been a couple of hours. So in this county, we don't have those machines either. That's one thing about it.
And so what do you have, like an optical scan where you mark the thing and they run it through?
You do the paper. You just have it. It's just printed,
mm-hmm.
and then that goes through a scan.
Okay. Well, that's a little bit more reliable than a touch screen.
Yeah.
It's still no substitute for marking a ballot and having a human being count it.
We've got a Democrat that's head of our election in here, and I think she's a real Democrat. I may be wrong, but. So far, she'd been around a while. She was in the Congress for a while, Florida Congress. But Sarah and Elizabeth were in Kissimmee on Sunday. And you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Anyway, Sarah.
Talking about clothing?
Yes. Yes, Sarah wanted to get that straightened out about the clothing.
And Elizabeth helped a little bit. Not that Sarah knew.
Well, no, Elizabeth was the one. She's the one who spoke up in front of the crowd.
Right.
Because she said she wanted to get it straightened out.
Well, see, that's like, you know, she stood there, Sarah did, and all the Palin drones in front of her. Sarah said, and I see a Native Americans for McCain sign in the back. That's great. You know, my earrings were given to me by my mother-in-law, and she's a real Eskimo.
Oh, yeah?
You know, like there was really a... I mean, come on. There aren't any Native Americans from McCain's.
Well, she claimed she was wearing vintage clothing.
Yeah, from my favorite consignment shop in Anchorage, don't you know?
But you know, if they're vintage, that doesn't mean they're cheap. Now, if they were just used...
That woman does not shop at a consignment shop.
Oh, gosh. Bob, I'll tell you.
Well, that, I don't know. Maybe that, maybe they flew her $150,000 worth of clothes to a consignment shop in Anchorage. And then, you know, it's kind of like money laundering, only it's couture laundering, I guess.
Yeah. Well, like I said, those vintage clothing, if it's vintage clothing, then that ain't cheap.
Oh, no, no, no. No, no.
It's not like you go to these used clothing places.
No, she's not going. She's not going to the Goodwill.
Right. But anyway, did you know they hung her in effigy in California?
No.
Yeah, they had that on the View today. It showed a picture of it, and they were all bent out of shape about it. You know, didn't none of them. Well, I don't think it's right either, but. Who knows if the people were actually doing it if because they were Democrats or if it was actually, you know, somebody else having it done.
Or who knows if it's a backlash dealing with a backlash in response, you know, sort of a needling,
yeah,
sort of, hey, how do you like it, based on all the stuff that's been done by the right wing.
Yeah. If you listen to her, it's just disgusting to hear all the lies that she will tell. And saying that the working man is gonna, Obama will be bad for the working man? Well,
yeah, like Republicans are good for working people.
And
not,
not.
No. So.
Yeah, and,
well, somebody will shoot me that link in a minute and I'll see it.
Yeah. But then they talked about the, death threat, you know, the skinheads, the formal skinheads.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Putting on the top hats.
Yeah, if they got top hats on, how can you tell if they're skinheads?
I don't know.
Sorry, I probably shouldn't do things
like with
that.
With the hats on, I guess.
Oh, and by the way, I found out David in Tennessee let me know that when the neo-Nazis and skinheads refer to 14, there's 14 words in this little creed that they repeat about the, you know, how important white people are.
Oh, yeah.
And white power and all of that stuff. So that's why 14 is magic to them and 88 is magic.
Really?
Yeah, 88 is magic because...
Well, you know they have their own Bible, too, White Man's Bible.
Got to get me one of those someday.
Yeah, you get it at... Amazon.
Oh, my God, you're kidding.
I used to wonder where some of the beliefs came from, you know, if they all came from the Bible or if they just picked what they wanted to out of the Bible, which a lot of people do that, too. My daddy used to say you could prove lard wasn't greasy on the Bible and have people believe it.
Oh, I think I would have loved your daddy.
Oh, I think you would, and I know he would have loved you. He really enjoyed you.
Let me make sure I did. You can use the Bible to prove that lard ain't greasy.
Yeah, and have people follow you.
I'm hanging on to that one.
Well, but let's see. What I wanted to just say one more thing, and I forgot what it was. I'm like you. I'm anxious. I was listening on the weekend to Young Turk shows,
mm-hmm.
And they're going to be on the night of the election, and he said we're going to really celebrate if Obama wins, but he said if he doesn't, we're going to be crying and crying. You're going to see the grown men cry or hear him cry.
Well, that's about
me too.
And you know, I'm not trying to be lazy here or anything, Juanita, but. If we had a pretty good idea, but then again, wait, no, I'm about to contradict myself. I was going to say, if we got a pretty good idea by, you know, 10, 11, 12 o'clock, maybe we'll just knock off. But you know what? I go back to what I've said before. I will not feel like we have had a fair election on this until such time as I see Barack Obama take the oath of office.
Me too. I'm with you. I feel the same way.
Oh, and mercy. News Ninja Gene has just pulled it up there for me, the White Man's Bible. Oh, my God.
I didn't know it until that guy, you know, that is from, I don't know, somewhere in middle America, you know, the heart of America,
mm-hmm.
and the where the real Americans are. Anyway, he's a Nazi, and he played violin, you know, and he was on different shows, and just really, he's really full of himself, and he just worships Hitler, and he was trying to get law license, and he was on TV wanting to know why he couldn't get his law license, and it was because of his belief. And some say that the man that went out and shot at where the Jewish children were going to school in California were some of his members. And anyway, last time I knew anything about him, he was serving in prison for some reason. He was in prison. He was walking around with his Hitler uniform on. But I want to tell you something that I read a few years ago. We had somebody here in Florida, and I don't know what happened to him. He was undercover in the with the Ku Klux Klan and the Nazis and all
mm-hmm.
here in Florida. And he was going to write a book. I've got the newspaper article here. He was going to write a book, but I've never seen a book. And I've tried to find him on the Internet. That's been at least 10 years ago. But he was... One thing that was struck me was he went to a Christmas party they had, and they had a Christmas tree with little Hitler decorations on it. I'm telling you. Oh, Lord help us, Bob, I tell you.
these people are so out of the woodwork. I mean, they've frankly gone all cockroach on us. Because this is the last scurrying before they start getting stomped. And I mean that metaphysically and not physically. But
yeah.
With the exception, Juanita, of that 20% who constantly shows up in all polling data, you know, the 20% that thinks George Bush is doing a fabulous job, the 20% who thinks that, you know, if they eat a cracker, it turns into human meat in their belly, the 20% who, you know, believe that, Barack Obama is a Muslim or was born in Kenya or you know, all that. With
yeah.
the exception of those people, is there anybody left in this country who actually thinks that conservatism was meant to benefit them? I mean, if you're not a Wall Street CEO.
Yeah, the CEOs.
Yeah.
I heard a woman from, she's head of the Republican party in Nevada. She was on C-SPAN this morning. And I guess I missed the Democrat, but she was talking about that mountain. Where was the mountain they were going to put the...
Yucca Mountain.
She said they're still working on it. And she said that she was sure that McCain would... get scientists in there to do something with that waste, you know, to use it for something good. I mean, and then she was talking about that if Obama got in and raised taxes, it was going to affect the business out at all the casinos and all.
Mm-hmm.
She said, we hire a lot of people, and so they're just going to have to go up on the price and all if he does that. And... Like, but what was funny was some guy called in and was talking, and then he said to her, "Did you work at the Bunny Ranch?" she laughed about it. She said no, but she was just go on and on and on. I thought, woman, quit lying.
God's going to get you. You know that would if he was still in the lightning bolt business. With all of what's going on from the Republican Party, it would rain lightning bolts on America. And, you know, just little Republicans, just zap, 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 you know, little smoky carbonized spots.
Yeah.
Because it's all the, and you know, now they've turned the guns on themselves, so to speak, in that the right wing is incredibly, the Palinites hate the McCainites, and the McCainites hate the Palinites. And they're doing all this fault finding, and Well, if they want to throw me under the bus, the most honorable thing I can do is lay there. This is delightful. It's wonderful to watch him come in unglued. And, you know, I don't know if Mark Levine's right or not. I think Sarah Palin probably really does see herself as the next standard bearer of the Repig-Lickin' Party.
Oh, she thinks she's one of the, whatever her God is, chosen. You know, they called her, one preacher called her Esther, you know, because you knew for such a time as this. And I'm sure she's probably convinced of that.
Well, she probably wants to be. I mean, you don't believe anything that you're not looking to believe.
Well, you know, knowing some of the beliefs those people have, I mean, I can see where it's coming from. But they've gotten even wilder than since I was in such as that, some of their stuff they do. I'm so glad I got out of it.
I just had based on what you brought up in earlier conversation, Juanita, I just had somebody mail me a YouTube video of this alleged Palin effigy being hanged in Hollywood.
Yeah.
It is a mannequin. It has a red dress on.
Yeah.
It's got a brown wig and a pair of glasses on it. There's nothing on it that says Sarah Palin. No. Maybe you make the argument that it's Sarah Palin being hanged in effigy because she has a, you know, her brain power is similar to that of a mannequin. But apart from the Lord, people.
Huh?
It's from CBS. A home in Hollywood, California bears a mannequin representing Governor Sarah Palin hanging by a noose. Neighbors have complained that the LAPD does not believe it constitutes a hate crime. Well, no, it doesn't constitute a hate crime. At the very least, it constitutes a very tacky Halloween decoration.
Well, you know, there was one time we had some people down the street from us that they put up Halloween decorations, and they had people hung in effigy, you know, out, and they were, you know, of course, were black.
Oh.
It was horrible.
God, but it goes on.
Unbelievable.
And I know. But this thing doesn't even have a face on it. How can you tell it's Sarah Palin? I don't know. Maybe the people are saying, see our effigy of Sarah Palin that we hanged?
Yeah, you just never know whether it's on our side or.
Well, yeah, and, you know,
side.
Barring something like
the
that.
Way they do. They're dirty tricks.
Yeah.
Who knows?
But barring somebody saying that, you know, oh, yeah, that's Sarah Palin. I think we've got a classic case of Republicans playing records backwards trying to hear the secret messages.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I forgot again.
Oh, it happens to me all the time. Yeah, you should see. Sometimes it's just 3 hours of hell here.
I got so much in my mind. Oh, goodness. But anyway, I just wanted to get in touch, and you know what I called you about the other day. I'm having to wait on that.
Well, no worries. I figured you probably would.
Huh?
I figured you probably would. You know, we talked about that. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, hang in there, Juanita.
I'm gonna try. You know what else can I do except give up?
Sit and wait for the good news come Tuesday, and cross your fingers, say a prayer, whatever works best.
And remember, lard ain't necessarily greasy.
Yeah, because you can prove it in the book.
Okay.
All right, take care, Juanita.
You too.
Bye-bye. Night. Yeah, that's a keeper. So, let's see what the audio on there. This is some sort of CBS News report, and I'm just eaten up with curiosity now.
It is okay, and only okay, because it is Halloween, and we decorated our entire house in a spooky manner. We do it every holiday. There's bats hanging. There's Jack Skeleton lowering a severed head down. It's dark. It's twisted. It's Halloween, and I have a business doing window displays. I have resources for all these things. They're literally in the prop house. We're deciding how are we going to do it this year. We had these mannequins in these poses. We're like, let's do it. Look at the election. Here's this holiday. It's synced together. You know, that's why it's okay, because this is an installation for Halloween, and it's spooky and dark.
We're not promoting, obviously, lynching somebody. I mean,
no.
Obviously, that's not what we're promoting at all. This is Halloween. It's of the time. It's of the season, really. So, I mean, we didn't see it being such a negative implication.
Okay, so they admitted it's her. See? Live and learn. Still, you gotta wonder where the right-wingers were when the real nooses were hanging from the real tree in Gina, Louisiana. Or when the effigy of Barack Obama was hanged at that Christian college out in Oregon, was it? Or any number of other places. You know, and there's even audio where someone's making an argument now that when Sarah Palin was babbling away, calling Barack Obama everything but a communist, that somebody in the crowd shouted that word, as in, he's a. But we have the hissy over a faceless mannequin. I'm being told by David in Tennessee that Keith Olbermann made the guy that did this the worst person in the world and gave the guy a stern lecture. And maybe that's called for. Well, I don't think there's any maybe. Marty also noting, the gold in the worst person in the world was, I mean, it's, these people, these right-wingers, they're terrified as it is. They're terrified, they're cornered like the little the wounded snakes that they are. And we're going to give them fodder against us? Come on. And an update on the four, white supremacist numerology. Okay, the 88, one of them is the two H's, Heil and Hitler, 88. And then there's 88 words in a quote from Volume 1, Chapter 8 of Mein Kampf. And then some right-wing fascist genius comes up with this statement, two statements, 14 words each. We must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children. Or the 14-word slogan, because the beauty of the white Aryan woman must not perish from the earth. Morons! Just morons. So they walk around, they give each other the high sign, and they say things to each other like, 1488, 1488. And, of course, they have 88 precepts, there's 88 keys on a piano. What? God, Nazis and fascists are so damn dumb. You know, bless his heart, the rest of what Eugene Finnerman said. He's having some website troubles, by the way, but usually FinnermanWorks.com and your RDA of irony. Nature may abhor a vacuum, but it was amused by Benito Mussolini on this day in 1922. Mussolini and his black shirts wore out their Gucci's, marching on Rome to demand control of the government. Surprised that any Italian even cared, the government promptly, even gleefully capitulated. And this is Eugene at his best. Politically, Italy is anarchy with charm. The Italians have not had a competent government since the reign of Theodoric, who died in 526, and they really don't care. It's a tribute to Italians' enlightenment that they prefer thieves and lunatics in government over having public nuisances on the street. Remember that Italian lunatics would be more endearing than American and especially German psychotics. Mussolini is rightfully remembered as a tyrannical buffoon. To put him in our contemporary political terms, he combined a Republican's personality with a Democrat's competence. Yet he might be revered as the inspiration of reality television, and in the year 2000, the show obviously was syndicated in America. Yeah. Oh, and Matt Osborne's poem last night, The Decider and the Duck Hunter, has inspired at least one of you. Our buddy Tom wrote in from California with recommending that we have a poetry corner. And you know what? I'm up for that. We can do that kind of thing. He says, great show yesterday. I really enjoyed Matt's poem. How about a regular feature, the Horn Poetry Corner? He says, I came up with a haiku a few days ago for a poetry slam at an upcoming Halloween party. Poetry slams. Oh, to live in a place that does poetry slams! But, okay, so, well, Tom, you did it. This is your fault. It's 10 minutes past 7 p.m. here on the East Coast. And here's tonight's Poetry Corner, courtesy of Tom in Richmond, California. A haiku. To the precipice, pale, vacuous mannequin brings conflagration. Whew, man. I'm so darn lucky. And that's not me being a smart aleck. I really am. I love being associated with so many creative, wise, witty, informed people. See, this is so much better. And I get to do this 3 hours a night. This is so much better than going to church. This is like church to me. So, thank you. Thank you, Tom. And feel free to chime in anytime. Anytime at all. So I guess it's break time. And, well, you know the drill. You know the phone number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on, H-E-A-D-O-N. On your own nickel, it's 304-658-3333. Easy enough, huh? So we'll be back after a brief musical interlude, and we'll get started on some other stories, as well as your thoughts, your calls, your comments, your concerns, anything that you want to bring to the table. Fair enough? I mean, that is kind of the way that conversation radio works, right? Yeah. So that's the plan. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
All right. Somehow that little piece of semi-eclectic pop from the late 70s seemed appropriate. Hey, blame the DJ. Because that would be me. All right, let's go straight away to the phones and see what's happening. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Brother Bob.
Hey, what's up, Albert?
That was a really good song. I was getting into it.
Yeah, wasn't that cool?
I was like, wait a minute, what am I listening to here? Anyway.
Yeah, that was Manfred Mann.
I'll tell you what. They're already going for the right.
How so?
That's some sad stuff, Bob. Oh. It's some sad stuff. I feel bad for these people. Is that all right?
Yeah, you almost could. I mean, I feel, okay, let's try to work through this. I feel pity for right-wingers. I feel, okay, back up. I feel no pity for the bailout billionaires. Sorry, none for them. I feel no pity for the hard right-wing pig lickins who have bowed and scraped and kowtowed to this sick, twisted political philosophy of victory by division. No sympathy for them. But you know what? Some ignorant person sitting out there in God knows where who says, well, they keep telling me he's a communist, and I don't know why they'd lie to me, and I'm scared. Those people, I feel real compelling pity for.
Yeah, my pity's kind of like on a Bill Hicks line where, you know, the whole, this is real, like that. Like, that's my whole, that's where my, just like, man, you guys are just unbelievable. To sit here and now bring this back up. And, you know, I know how, you know, I know Obama's got it down because, you know, honestly, his strategy has just been flawless thus far. And when you sit there and look at...
Yeah, it makes me feel kind of like a fool, Albert, because every time, you know, I take the bait. Every time the right wing wants me to jump, you know, throw something out there that leads me to want to jump into the pigsty with them, I jump.
Oh, yeah.
And he just hasn't. He's just brushed them off of his shoulder. You know, just, oh, go away, dirty thing. You know.
Yeah, and that's, you know, and I admire that. I mean, because I'm a, you know, I'm a knee-jerk. I'm so used to knee-jerk. That's why. I mean, you know, you got to remember who, you know, when you and I talk, we're grizzled old veterans, you know, in terms of, you know, being alone and nobody on the TV would say anything that would be even remotely close to what we want to hear, and our neighbors are waving flags, and we're just like, are you kidding me? We're going to be torturing people and bombing these countries, and now our whole, you know, point of view is, man, it's mainstream. Just like that.
Well, and, you know, it's they say, well, no, they say what, a prophet is never welcome in his own land. Isn't that one of those Book of Jeremiah things or something? And there are a lot of people out here who have been, because, you know, I'm not a communist. I like stuff. I'm materialistic and shallow in many ways. And you know, I want little entrepreneurial craft breweries opening up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I certainly do.
You know, I don't want everybody to be drinking Duff.
Mm.
But by the same, you know, but we've got to have meaningful discussions on things like health care. And we're not even near to that discussion yet, because until the discussion includes why are we allowing people to profit from human suffering,
mm-hmm.
then we're not having the discussion.
See, which, and then in turn, you see, now I think you're back in my boat where you're not a communist, and I'm not a communist, but you're also not a capitalist. You realize that, I mean, everybody, I hope, is starting to realize, like, you know, maybe that this, you know, this falling down to rock bottom, or, you know, we still aren't there. We're still on fluctuations, palpitations, and, you know, don't let a strong beat fool you, because, you know, that kind of stuff should make you afraid. You never forget, the higher you go, the further you have to fall.
When we talk about capitalism, say, right-wing Republican style, you remember your Dr. Seuss, don't you, Albert?
Oh, certainly.
You remember the Sneetches?
Yep.
Well, that's capitalism. You know, the guy shows up and he's selling stars to put on the non-star-bellied Sneetches.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody's got stars and they're all equal. So he starts selling access to a machine that takes the stars off.
Yep.
And so he is profiting handsomely from both sides and playing everybody for a sucker.
Exactly.
And I'm not talking, and you know this, I know this, the audience knows this, but if there's somebody who's just happens to be wandering in and might not have picked up the general sort of vibe of the program, I'm not talking about Adam Smith's Wealth of Nations capitalism. This ain't that. I'm talking about the crony, every man for himself, grab, run, stab, steal, lie.
Animalistic predator.
It's cannibal economics is what it is. It's not capitalism.
Yep. No. Well, yeah, because I mean, you know, capitalism, man, we should make it have a goal. Now, I know it's a kind of a tough thing to say, but like Warren Buffett, these guys, yeah, man, they can lose half their fortunes. Oh, boo hoo. if you lose half your monthly income, that's a big deal. You know, so I think almost sometimes you should get to a point where you have to retire. Where you have such an astronomical amount of money, and you know, nobody should be able to.
Oh, you
that.
Just opened up such a door there.
I know.
Because you're talking about the very essence of what it means to be a person.
Yeah.
One of those investment houses used to have one of those ads that ran. Maybe you remember it. Where the guy said, well, you know, I was a blah, 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 you know, and high-powered, yada, 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 and now I'm following my dream and I'm an archaeologist in the desert.
Mm.
Well, yeah, I mean, do you ever, it's like Brett Favre, you Wisconsinite, mm-hmm. you cheesehead.
Well, I like the Jets better than the Packers, so.
Yeah, I know, well, that's, yeah. So you get the best of both worlds, you know, he's playing for the Jets now. But I don't know. Do you think Brett Favre came out of retirement because he couldn't stand it?
I mean, I don't know. I'm not really a jock. So.
You there, Albert? Albert? Oh, darn. That was the beginning of a great conversation. Maybe he'll come back in a second. Because I wasn't trying to start a, you know, it wasn't about necessarily being a jock, but it's a self-definitional thing. I mean, do we buy into this thing where we let the world define us? And I'm not talking about Republicans or Democrats. I'm talking about, you know, human nature. And maybe this is Albert dialing back in here. Just one second here. Do we let ourselves be defined by what we do? You know, I'm not a radio host. I'm a lot of other things. I'm not just that. None of us are just anything. Is that you, Albert?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't say anything bad, did I?
No. I just, you know, boom. One minute you were there, the next minute you weren't. But no, what I was saying to you is not necessarily a jock thing, but it's a self-definitional thing. You know.
True. That's what I was kind of.
Is that the limit of, because I can't understand it, I can't get my mind around it. Is that the way people on the other side, for instance, define themselves? Is, you know, they just want to do this one thing for 40 years and then go to the nursing home?
You know, I sure hope not. I mean, that's one of those things that makes me really, really sad about, you know, my wife, she does nursing stuff, and my mom does it, and it's kind of one of those things that makes me kind of sad, because a lot of times when I worked in a factory, too, I used to hear that kind of stuff, and, well, don't you guys want to see the world? And I remember when I went to a wedding down south, and I'm like, well, you know, where are you from? Oh, you were a Yankee? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, oh, you guys ever been up there? Well, I've never been north of Mason-Dixon line. And I mean...
And like, said it with pride.
Exactly, and it's kind of one of those things where it's like, well, hell, here you are, born to a planet, okay, like that's spinning in space around a star, or I mean, in a galaxy of stars, and you just going to stay in your neighborhood? I mean, I know you can't go see, you know, Sirius A or B or anything like that, but my God, at least check out where you are. You know, I mean, maybe it is. Maybe it's that. Maybe that's probably why that study shows that, Bob. Maybe. And conservatives tend to be a little bit more fear-based. They tend to get afraid of, you know, change. And because of that, their intakes on life.
And they're terrified to go somewhere where they don't see, where they don't speak the language. Because even if you don't use the word and you don't recognize it as such, anytime that you go somewhere that you cannot read and speak the language,
yeah,
you are within the cultural parameters. A moron. I mean, you really are. You know, can't ask for help to get to the bathroom.
Well, that's what's fun about being in a new place.
But that's right. But see, Albert, that's fun to you. That's exciting to me. This audience, you know, we'd love the chance to start a dialogue with, you know, somebody, anybody, somewhere. But there is a vast segment of this population that has been told that other is dangerous, different, is frightening.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's an entire media industry that is built on nothing but those principles.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a dynamic. You know, I saw an interesting movie last night. I didn't get to finish watching it because it was really late, but it was called A Few Days in September. And I don't know if you've seen it or not.
No.
I don't know. Yeah, I just kind of, John Turturro is in it, and I like him. He's a So what it was is this little spy thing. I don't know. I kind of fell asleep, so I didn't catch the very end. But anyway, it was just an interesting because they found out there was a brother and a sister from, one was from America, one was from France. And, of course, the French is, oh, I hate you, you know. And the other one, and they're actually speaking French, which is nice. I like it when they do things like that. When a movie, it's like, oh, I'm in another country and I'm speaking English just like you, with a little accent. Like, that's what's annoying to me. Like, 10,000 BC would have been a great movie if they would have, like, spoken the language. Just so I could have gotten into the story more. Because that was annoying. I mean, isn't that annoying? You're sitting there watching a movie and it's like, wow, that guy sounds like he's from California. In the cave 10,000 years ago, fighting. Yeah, that just doesn't work.
Yeah, or American speaking with phony British accents, and yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There's only a couple guys that can carry that stuff off. But anyhow, that's why you enjoy watching them. But so anyway, it was just funny how he's like, oh, you just hate us because we're the best kind of thing. And, you know, he had that kind of mentality. Remember, this is actually before 9/11, from what I gathered, and. Anyway, and she's like, no, I hate you because you guys are dinosaurs, and you emulate them. And that's all, when you say stuff like that to me, that's like what I always think they're dinosaurs. These guys are beasts, old beasts that are just, you know, plodding into this death march over a big-ass cliff. And, you know, and you and I see that kind of stuff, but they're so afraid of what's behind them that they don't, you know, they don't care. They're going to suck every last drop of oil out of this, you know.
Yeah, Wile E. Coyote looking over his shoulder and never seeing the edge of the cliff he's going to run over and get.
Mm-hmm. Well, look at guys like T-Bone Pickens, right? I mean, people hear this guy, you hear about this guy. He's a big, you know, he funds these really right-wing, extremist-type, you know, like crazy, you know, Swift Boat ads. I'm pretty sure he's the one that did that. You know, and you hear about these people.
Yeah, that was him.
The Pickens plan. Remember, he has the Pickens plan. And like, you know, and then I sit there and I listen to Harry Reid talk about him, and I just want my bowels just start twisting. And I mean, it's like, you know, I need health insurance just to get rid of my bowel blockages from Harry Reid. But anyway, he's sitting there saying this guy's his best friend. You know, it's like, well, why are you saying this guy's now your best friend? Because he wants to do, you know, he wants to do more money into, you know, alternative energies and stuff like that. And, you know, that's one of my favorites. That's one of this family's favorites, right? This is one of our favorite topics is alternative energy, right? So we're sitting here, and he says that, and I sit there, and I go, well, who is this T-Bone Pickens? I'm not into everything, I mean, but that's what the beauty of what the lawnmower man has done for us with the internet. But anyway, I diverged. Anyway, so he sits there, and I watched that movie, Bob. That movie's scary, especially now. But anyway, you sit there and you don't know what I'm talking about?
What?
Bob?
Yep.
The Lawnmower Man?
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to watch it. just anyway.
Okay.
If you've seen it before, you got to watch it again.
I think it's been playing when I've walked through the room a couple of times or something, but yeah.
No, sit down and watch it. It's crazy. I was like, what? Because, I mean, you know, when you're a kid and you see a movie, you're like, oh, cool, look at the effects, you know. But no, it's a little more than that, and it's kind of nuts. It's kind of like another good one to watch is The Last Whimsy.
Yeah.
That's a really good one. But anyway, all right. But back to this T-Bone Pickens dude. So he wants to put, you know, soul pounds and wind and all this other stuff, and he's, you know, he's really pushing this kind of stuff. And that's
but only if he gets to own it all.
Well, that, and he wants to use natural gas to power vehicles. You see, so it's like even some dinosaurs know that they need to evolve into birds. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But reality, we got to evolve into humans. You know, we got to evolve to sit there and, like we need to, in a sense, kind of manage, I mean, you know, with fiscal accountability.
We don't have time for the gecko stage at this point.
No, exactly. We have to go from, you know, dinosaurs to managing our checkbooks and always hitting the black. And we have to do this with the world's resources because, you know, there is a finite amount of it. You know, and there are things that, you know, in certain, this ties right into that whole capitalism thing. And if anybody's ever seen the movie Zeitgeist, I really, really recommend, I've said it already, but go watch Amendum, the part two. And that's really, really good. I thought anyway. And it just because it's like, well, what do we do for a new economic system? And a guy, they kind of have some ideas. And any ideas, you know, you never know. Seeds and beautiful trees and whole plants, they all come from little tiny things. I actually got to explain that to my kids today. They started asking me about seeds and flowers and all that. Oh, Daddy, the flowers are dying. I'm like, yeah, but that's okay, honey. And I tell them the whole story.
That's what they do this time of year.
Yeah, and that was, but see, that's why I just experienced that today because that's what they're, that's all their flowers that I planted for them are now, you know, yeah. So anyway, but, you know, in reality, you know, maybe we need to move to a more resource-based economy. And that's not saying that nobody can't have nice things and computers and, you know, I just think it's like,
we can make,
like hell with, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we can make French cuff shirts out of things other than, you know, hydrocarbon-based synthetics.
Exactly. I mean, we could sit there and, you know, have organic, locally produced foods. You know, we could sit there and, all right, well, maybe these one place, these certain areas are better at producing glass, so they can make glass for the greenhouses in places like me, that we need, you know, greenhouses to, you know, sit there and make our food. And, you know, we can sit there and, you know, what about building greenhouses to distill water? You know what I'm saying? Like, you get greenhouses, you flood the area, and you get, let the sun of the Sahara, you know, that way we can kind of solve that energy problem in terms of giving people fresh drinking water. You know, so there's a lot of, there's a billion.
Well, that's the kind of brainstorming that we need, Albert, because, you know, this, well, I want to use natural gas instead of coal. Well, you know, listen, Private Pile, just because it's transparent and you can't see it doesn't mean it ain't got no carbon in it. Not all carbon looks like Kingsford.
No, I tell you what, methane is 20 times the greenhouse gas that that CO2 is. Methane is a brutal greenhouse gas. I mean, and it might not, you know, it's kind of like, I think methane and water are kind of like hand in hand, like they're both like mega powerful.
I mean, did it ever occur to anybody that maybe we might want to start, and I know it has, this is a rhetorical question sort of, but that we might want to start thinking about the reforestation of the planet? Because that stuff actually processes the carbon. You know, they want to talk about carbon sequestration, these coal thugs. You know, oh, we want to pump all the carbon under the ground. Dumbass, plant some trees.
Exactly. I don't understand. Like, wait, what are we going to do, pump carbon under the ground until, you know, until President Hector Macho Camacho Mountain Dew, you know, rides his trike?
Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Exactly, and bust it hits the pipe, and all the CO2 that we've been pumping under the ground comes out.
Well, oh yeah, and guess what? You know, big news off the North Slope a couple of days ago. I think Cindy turned me on to it. Yeah, great big 8-inch pressurized natural gas pipeline exploded.
Yeah.
Wait. And it was a BP. It was one of BP's lines. And what's it from? What caused it? Why, corrosion caused it. Corrosion. Hello? Technical support? Maintenance? Somebody?
Tad, we need you on lot 3. See, that's because Todd's not on the North Slope, you know, being a rugged man, driving his snow machine everywhere, checking all the pipes. See, that's why that's another reason they need to lose.
Hey, speaking of which, you've seen everything that's on the internet. Agnes put me onto something the other day, and I felt like, I'm not doing my job. I should have seen this weeks ago. And I checked it at Snopes, Albert. I did. I really, really did. I don't fall for everything anymore. I run to Snopes and see this video of Todd Palin in bed being woken up to be told that Sarah won the mayoral election.
Really? I haven't seen that.
You haven't seen or heard about this? Because, Agnes comes, you got to see this. And I went and I watched. And the story behind this thing is that one of the Palin children's teachers was collecting old video cameras to be refurbished and given away or something. And so the old video camera gets brought in from the Palin home with a tape in it. And it's apparently little Bristol from 8 or 9 years ago, long before she had carnal knowledge of a man. And she takes this video camera in, and Toddy is asleep, and he gets a phone call from Sarah telling him that she won the election. And he's all kind of grizzled and looks like he probably had a few too many the night before. Oh, well, that's great. You're the mayor. You won, huh? And so now you're the mayor. Well, that's great. You're the mayor. And meanwhile, honey, turn off the video. What has Daddy told you about videoing Daddy when Daddy's just now waking up? Honey, turn off the video camera. And the camera keeps rolling through all of this. And then it goes into this thing, and it's so over the top, Albert, that you're sitting there going, this might not be a fake. Now, I'm probably going to get 18 dozen emails saying, hey, Bob, you dumbass, it's all been proven a fake. But Snopes had nothing on it. And eventually he gets over to the point where, Bristol, Daddy's feeling a little insignificant now. Daddy's a fisherman, and Mommy's the mayor. Which would you rather be, honey, a mayor or a fisherman?
Mayor.
No, honey, Daddy's got a... And it's just this psycho babble kind of male insecurity thing going on. And you gotta go find this thing. And tell me, shoot me a note, whatever. Tell me if you think it's real. Or if you find out that it's not real, tell me.
But
the theory, the guy who posted it to YouTube said, yeah, this was in the camera. And maybe it's a fraud, man. I mean, this isn't the video of the kid in L.A. saying that he's the father of Bristol's baby, really. No, this is not that. This is allegedly Todd Palin being very, very insecure in his manhood.
Yeah. Ooh, that's creepy. Well, maybe
that's where just find it. Let me know.
I'll look. That doesn't sound too promising. I'll tell you that. Daddy,
Daddy's feeling insignificant.
Well, there were those alleged rumors of her kind of another guy,
Yeah, Daddy's business partner.
Ooh.
In the car wash video business or whatever. Yeah. So.
Whatever. I ain't gonna say. We have too much good karma. I'm not gonna say nothing.
I know.
Can't be going there on that, because, they are just imploding, these people, imploding. I mean, they're proof of dark matter. I don't even believe in dark matter, and they're proof of black holes. Look at the Republican Party. I've been trying to limit my whole deal, the whole, let's have poetry night. That sounds excellent. It sounds like a good idea to me. We still got to talk about pie.
Yeah, but,
honestly.
Strawberry rhubarb.
Man, I'm down for anything. I'm so sick and tired. I'm getting so sick and tired of this. I mean, we're part of the union out here, and they are just hammering us. Just hammering us. And that's fine. I understand. That's fine. But I think they should just tone it down a tiny little bit. just a tiny little bit. It's like they're getting.
But see, for you, Albert, it would be okay to tone it down a tiny little bit. On the other hand, however, there's a lot of people for whom it's not okay. I mean, consider, did you see this phony Board of Elections flyer story?
No, what now?
State of Virginia. It looks all official. It says, Virginia State Board of Elections, Commonwealth of Virginia, for immediate release, 10/24/2008. Due to the larger-than-expected voter turnout in this year's electoral process, an emergency session of the General Assembly has adopted the following emergency regulations to ease the load on local electoral precincts and ensure a fair electoral process. All Republican Party supporters and independent voters supporting Republican candidates shall vote on November 4th as provided by law. All Democratic Party supporters and independent voters supporting Democratic candidates shall vote on November 5th as adopted by emergency regulation of the Virginia General Assembly.
They are so... That is the most pathetic crap I've ever heard. People who did that, like honestly, like seriously, that should be a capital crime.
That's treason.
It exactly is, because you know, like if you sit there, well, what is this country? You say it's you and me and the country. You know, it's not the roads and the land. You know, it's, you know, like our whole system of government is a mental construct. You know, so if you're going to sit there and, you know, and it's all rights, which is what, you know, the foundation of what this government is. It's, and, you know, it's, this is our agreement to come together as a civilization. And so for somebody to sit there and pull some crap like that, you know, and I know they like to talk, I know they've done it before, but, you know, it's got to get to one of those things like.
Well, this is the depth of right-wing perfidy, and this is also the depth to which they travel into. Because, you know, it's nobody in their right mind would think that there's a separate election day for Democrats. Okay,
if that thing can
disenfranchise
one,
10,
yes,
100, then in a place like Virginia, it tips. I mean, remember, Jim Webb is senator instead of Makaka Allen by a function of just a handful of votes.
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll see if Mitch McConnell. We'll see if we can get rid of that bastard as well.
Mitch McConnell, the guy in Mississippi, and Sachs. Oh, I want Saxby Chambliss out of the Senate. So
yeah,
bad I can taste it. And Liddy Dole. Liddy Dole. Oh my God, I want her gone.
We should have a War of the Worlds type thing, but I know it brings up bad memories, but yeah, just to kind of fool the right wingers, if any are listening on election day, which is like, yeah, we're rounding them up and hanging them for, we're getting these Republicans, all right.
No, you know what you do? You know what you do? It's the rapture! Republican voters are disappearing from precincts all over America. They're flying naked into the clouds with little piles of clothing left behind.
This just did, breaking news. Oh, that's beautiful.
Because they'd believe that. Martians, they won't go for. But yep, today's the rapture. Yep, there they went. There they went. George Bush was seen flying straight up through the roof of the White House. but do you see what I'm saying, though, Albert? Because, you know, you talk about, you know, you wish they'd just let up a little bit. And I understand it because, frankly, you know, if I can stop getting so much political spam, you know, not listener email, but political spam in my inbox, you know, life will get better. You know, and I'm not talking about the news stories that listeners sent to me. I'm talking about the latest, you know, won't you please give $5 and watch our video? Yeah, I got that today. I get it every day. That'll be nice. It'll be almost like I can stand to look at my inbox again.
Oh, November 5th is going to be just a beautiful day because I can stand to go to my mailbox again.
But you can.
I literally.
Are you getting hammered with the direct mail?
Well, you see, because we have, like, I mean, what's really going on here in Wisconsin, you know, remember, we were a battleground, and that's just not the case anymore. But because we're not a battleground in terms of Barack Obama, I mean, because when he came to La Crosse, it was like, and then when McCain came, I mean, it literally was it was like 30-1 difference.
Oh, you could have held a McCain rally in a phone booth?
Oh, yeah, pretty much, and heard, and still told the crickets to shut up, but... I mean, we're sitting here looking at trying to get rid of a lot of these local Republicans. See, we got a lot of local Republicans that, you know, really, You know, they like all the other Republicans, they went just along with party. And so now, you know, now that this place has been getting hammered, Wisconsin got hammered in terms of losing jobs, and so has every other state, you know. So there's a lot of people that are pretty pissed about this, and we have, and the 527s, is that what they are? The 527s are freaking unbelievable. Bob, I got a stack of them. I mean, I like it because it helps me build a fire. But my God, I've got Dan Kopanky and this and this. I've got literal, I got a 4-inch stack of index card type big, you know, stuff just from, and it's just constant. Every day I get two or three of them. And it's every day, two or three, two or three, two or three. And then I get the phone calls. And then, I mean, so it's kind of, yeah, it's going to be a nice day once the select, because I'll tell you what, it annoys me when I get that free newspaper comes to my house because it's just more crap to get rid of, you know, because. But that's just,
yeah, because you don't have a parakeet that needs its birdcage lined.
I got a too big. You've probably never heard of squawk. But anyway, you know, there's just too much spam going around everywhere. You know, and I'm just, you know, just wait for it, buddy, because you know it's going to come that Barack is smoking crack and having gay sex in the back of a limo. You know it's coming. So just brace for it, and just when it comes, you just laugh. I mean, look at, you know.
But
what?
they're running out of time to even have that stuff get traction, aren't they, Albert?
But that's what, it doesn't matter. Nothing they say is going to get traction. Nothing. I mean, they're back to who's Texan spin liberals. I mean, they have no cohesion. You know, I heard somebody say something about how Sean Hannity is, you know, steering the talking points and giving McCain advice. And man, it makes sense because Sean Hannity is a flipping idiot. The guy's that shit crazy. He's a moron. And, you know, like, he's got some, I mean, oh, my God, I don't even want to get into him because describing him is just an evil act. But when we sit here and look at, you know, where this campaign has gone already, and, oh, we're not going to go here. And, well, anytime he says we're not, we are.
Right.
Oh, we're not going to do that. And so then they do it. And it's like, well, I really don't think anything that they're going to say has traction. I don't even know why he's still in the race. He's just delusional. I mean, how many Republicans, I mean, that aren't the ones that, like, over the boat, you know, mad, you know, the ones that are kind of sometimes a rational voice, even during a Republican feeding frenzy, they're still kind of, you know, hey, guys, you know, maybe it wouldn't be a good, you know, but, you know, wipe your face a little bit, you know, that kind of stuff. But, I mean, they all know, they all see the writing on the wall. I mean, you sit there and you look, they're hiring, did you see this video where they're hiring perhaps illegal immigrants to go do polling down in Florida?
Yes.
Have you seen that?
No.
Ooh, yeah. I don't know. I can't say it's illegal, but I know that they're hiring temp workers, like people, you know, you go to a temp agency because you lose your job because it's been shipped overseas. And then you go to this temp agency, yeah, I can do factory and this, this, or that. And they say, okay. And then they call you up and they say, okay, well, we got a position for you and it's paying $10 an hour. And so you go, okay, and you go to the thing. And next thing you know, they say, oh, yeah, this is for the McCain campaign. And, you know, we need you to go here and here and here and here and here and, you know, go out, tell people to vote, you know, whatever. Register people to vote, and they're doing that, you know. And there was a couple of them, when this lady, she was filming a couple of, you know, I can't say they were legal, but they were kind of talking with accents, and they go, oh, yeah, you know, looking for a job. Oh, I've been doing this, and the guy came out and freaked out on her, put his camera. I mean, you know, so they're
look. We've got wingers out there now, Albert, who are using firearms to defend their yard signs. No, really, really, really not kidding. In this particular instance, in Leavittsburg, Ohio, apparently Warren Township, authorities in northeast Ohio say a teenager was shot and wounded by a man who said he wanted to stop the boy and another from taking his John McCain yard sign. 50-year-old Kenneth Rowles, R-O-W-L-E-S, told officers he got out a .22 caliber rifle Saturday afternoon to fire warning shots, not hurt anybody, and he pleaded not guilty Monday to felonious assault. His preliminary hearing is set for Election Day.
Well, we got one!
Now, he was firing warning shots, and two of his warning shots hit the van.
Jesus.
Okay.
It's just kids, right? High school kids doing that?
Yeah, 17-year-old.
Come on now. I mean, that's, I mean, but first off, if you were a high school kid, okay, and the next 4 years of your life, wait, the country's in this state. I could totally see them. I would do it myself. Honestly, when I was 17, I said that I think back, okay, all that testosterone, oh, all that non-experience, and all the, you know, nothing to do in New York, and I saw McCain signs, and I really didn't want to go die in Iraq, and I didn't want to die in Afghanistan or Iran. You bet your ass I'd be stomping rock. I'd have a stack of signs up to the highest treetops, and we'd have a big bonfire for them. We would. I mean, I'm just being honest. I mean, and...
But these loonies are engaging in gunfire. Yeah, shooting people. Now, I mean, in Texas, there's this law that says you can use firearms in defense of property. They've had real cases where the repo guy comes to take your car and you kill the repo guy and they say, well, you know, you didn't know he wasn't a thief.
Mm-hmm.
Charge, oh, case dismissed.
Wait, for the way the McCain campaign's been going, you don't think they're giving away these yard signs for free?
No, I know they are.
They're free.
Yeah,
they're
sure.
Garbage. They're made of plastic. They're not, you know, they're not these durable, you know, wood, whatever. And, you know, I mean, nothing. You're not supposed to steal someone's property. I know that. I'm not justifying that. You know, but at the same time, you don't shoot somebody or shoot at somebody with a gun, you know, because they're taking it. You know, you maybe write their license. Maybe you, if you really care, maybe you write their license plate down. Maybe you call the police. Yeah, you know, I'm not saying that the police.
Well, maybe that's down. Maybe you save other McCain signs that way.
Exactly. Maybe. Who knows? You know, whatever. If that's what you care about, you don't shoot at them. You don't sit there and scream, "He's in here!" You don't sit there and do that. You don't sit there and go, "Oh, we're gonna have a killing rampage of Negroes and cut their heads off." Wait, wasn't this the savage Arabs that were cutting heads off, and that's why we had to kill them all or something?
We're still dealing with some of that here in West Virginia. That is why Bill Clinton will be in Beckley, about 25 miles from me, on Thursday morning.
Nice.
What I said a month and a half, 2 months ago, you know, you want to change West Virginia, you want to absolutely take it away from John McCain. You send Bill Clinton or Hillary to McDowell County. You know, she beat Barack Obama by 80 points in McDowell County, and there were no Republican votes to speak of.
Nice.
And but you know, Obama's still trailing behind in places like that. But, you know, better late than never, I guess. You know, Bill Clinton's going to be in Beckley on Thursday, you know, trying to it's all right.
Well, that's good.
You can vote for him. I'm voting for him.
Yeah, well, and that's good because, you know, and I'm half thinking, I know, I'm thinking about going and seeing if anybody needs rides. I'm going to go volunteer that because I, at the very least, I could probably wind up swinging that. I can give people a ride to the thing in style. But, I mean, you know, I mean, really, West Virginia, I keep seeing West Virginia flip and flop and flip and flop. And it's kind of like light blue, light pink, and then it kind of goes in the middle. It's like this, you know, this violet kind of color. And, you know, I mean, you guys are close. I mean, Barack could also get West Virginia. And, you know, I know how everybody else talks about all these other states, but I'll tell you what, I think if Barack Obama gets West Virginia,
Kennedy taking West Virginia in 60.
If we have the horn show, and we're sitting there having the horn show, and up, West Virginia goes for Barack. All right, everybody, good night.
Congratulations. Yeah. And there goes, there's lies, damn lies, and statistics, Albert. But there's a statistic out there that says no Democratic contender for the presidency has won the presidency since 1916 who did not also carry West Virginia.
Well, I hope the people on four-wheelers get a cold, or maybe they get, maybe they hear, because, you know, like a lot of times, you know, I don't get any right-wing spam, which is interesting. But maybe, you know, the right-wing spam only really goes to the right-wingers because it's the only ones they know. So maybe they're like, oh, and they'll just, you know, their reading comprehension abilities ain't so good. Oh, the election's moving up to the 5th. Yeah, maybe we'll get a couple of them, too. You know?
Yeah, can you imagine what the Fox broadcast day would look like if that Virginia flyer had said Democrats vote on the 4th, Republicans vote on the 5th?
Oh, forget. Oh, well, they're fair and balanced. I mean, you saw that lady trying to pawn that off today. That
yeah, that was a beautiful thing. Speaking of seeing, you know, it's not the best of radio talking about visuals, But anybody who has not seen the return of the What's Up guys.
That was what I wanted to say to you. That was good.
Oh, that was brilliant.
I didn't like them. I honestly didn't. I mean, you know, I hang out with a group of guys that are young and they have young minds and stuff, and we play games and competitively and stuff like that, and that's all it would be for 7 years. But yeah, that's beautiful. If anybody's missed that one.
Oh, and the thing that I was not ready for, you know, okay, the guy's in Iraq, he's calling the guy, yeah, I lost my job, true. And then when the intercom buzzes, and it turns out that the fourth guy, the fourth guy is hanging onto the wall in the middle of a hurricane.
Yeah. In my group, they call me Dookie.
Oh, are you Dookie?
So I'm Dookie in the group, and I just really laughed at that one.
Well, I wonder if that's where Dookie got his nickname, Dookie the Webmaster, over at WD40.com.
Perhaps. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to just start saying it from now on because I really like it. Right, Bob? I'm going to let you go with that, but I'm just going to say, what's up? And you're going to say change. Right, Bob? What's up?
Change. True.
Later, brother.
Later.
Be good.
Bye. Our buddy Albert in Wisconsin. I found it over at crooksandliars.com. It's not too awfully far down the page. And, you know, the audio doesn't translate because there's too much visual stuff there. But it was really kind of precious. And there's been some precious stuff come out recently. The Ron Howard video, where apparently he and Andy Griffith and Henry Winkler are all in agreement about Obama. The Al Bundy gets a tax cut video. Sweet. And then this, it's just, it all seems to be done quite sincerely. Because you know what? Maybe we're tired of living in a paranoid America where 50-year-old men come out and take warning shots at children running away. Maybe we're tired of that.
Well, I was only trying to wing him. I was only firing warning shots.
Really? With a .22 rifle, you were firing warning shots. You know, last I checked, warning shots were fired into the air. I mean, what is this, the little Switzerland portion of Ohio where, you know, he lives on the downhill side of a severely uphill yard? Jesus. Fired two shots into the van and one into the kid. Kid isn't dead. The kid survived. He was shot in the right arm. Kyrie Flowers is the young man's name, 17 years old. And we're shooting people over yard signs. God, don't make me play that song.
And I'm proud to be an American where I can shoot somebody over my sign.
Yeah, what's that redneck comedian? Here's your sign.
Bang!
But that's, you know, that's not all there are. We have barely even scratched the surface. This just in. Albert and I were talking about the, Bill Clinton visit to West Virginia. The visit by Bill Clinton to Beckley is now rescheduled not for Thursday, but for Saturday, November 1st. And apparently it looks like there were so many people coming out that they didn't have the facilities to handle a crowd of that size at the relatively small venue they had set up in Beckley. So that's kind of a good thing. It's a really good thing. So chime in if you've got something on your mind. You're more than welcome to do so. You know that. This is conversation radio. That's what it all means. And what we'll do is take a little break and come back. And, jump right in. 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on, or 304-658-3333. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn. Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
How about a little patriotism update? This is an inspiring story. And it follows on the heels of a story that broke in West Virginia last week. The young woman, the student at Fairmont State University who was working her way through college by working at a call center doing telemarketing, who refused to read the robo-sleaze script for the John McCain campaign. Well, that was just one person at the call center in Fairmont. Yesterday, about three dozen workers walked off the job at a call center in Indiana because they didn't want to read a robo-sleaze script for John McCain. Interesting. I think Indiana actually forbids robocalls. If one of our Indiana listeners is in the chat room or listening live, or listening later, you can clear that up for me, but I believe I read that somewhere. So if you want to sleaze somebody, you have to do it with live workers in Indiana. And so the McCain campaign hired a telemarketing firm to dial voters and read this hateful little script full of filth and bilious, vile garbage, and then hang up. So, what you got was these three dozen workers who said no. One young lady who wouldn't give her name because she was afraid that her employer would retaliate against her, said it was like at least 40 people. People thought the script was nasty and they didn't want to read it. These people weren't fired, but they sacrificed pay rather than read the lines. Their supervisors told them, if you all leave, you're not going to get paid for the rest of the day. And they said, fine. Now, other places have had the robo-sleaze pre-recorded calls. This is what it sounds like.
Hello, I'm calling for John McCain and the RNC because Democrats are dangerously weak on crime. Barack Obama has voted against tougher penalties for street gangs, drug-related crimes, and protecting children from danger. Barack Obama and his liberal allies have a distributing history of calling criminals, and we can't trust the judgment to keep our family safe. This call was paid for by the Republican National Committee and McCain Power in 2008 at 866-558-5591. Thank you, bye.
God, that's nasty. Now, let's see. What's that say? Barack Obama has voted against tougher penalties for street gangs, drug-related crimes, and protecting children from danger. Barack Obama and his liberal allies have a disturbing history of coddling criminals, so we can't trust their judgment to keep our families safe. didn't I just read that? Yeah. That was a right-winger. That was a McCain supporter. 50 years old. Nothing in the story to indicate that the guy was a loon. And he shot a 17-year-old kid who was uprooting his precious McCain Palin sign. I don't think Barack Obama's the guy that the Republican Party has to really worry about. So, hooray for a little bit of worker patriotism. Bravo to those people at AmeriCall in Indiana. You know, one of the beautiful things is that if we get the Employee Free Choice Act, those people in that call center can organize, and as part of their collective bargaining, they can perhaps negotiate so that AmeriCall can never force them to give up a day's pay because they won't read filthy, disingenuous political sleaze over a telephone anymore. Now, that's something to think about. But the question arises, you know, who did the Lumpy McHoover campaign get to do these sleaze calls? Well, it was an outfit called AmeriCall that's headquartered in Naperville, Illinois. And they've been at this gig for a while, having started, I guess, in the 80s. How do they describe themselves? Ah, here we go. AmeriCall Group, Inc., a teleperformance group company. That tells me something to begin with. In July of 1984, AmeriCall was formed to provide quality outbound telemarketing services to businesses which were seeking to sell their products and services or generate leads from or to here targeted customers. Leads from or to their targeted customer bases. AmeriCall has its corporate headquarters in the state of Illinois and has operating centers in the states of Illinois, Indiana, Missouri, and Florida, as well as nearshore operations. Nearshore operations, that's what you call it when you hire folks in Mexico and the Dominican Republic. Let's keep going. Teleperformance, the world's second largest CRM and teleservices outsourcing group, bought a majority interest in the corporation in 1998, giving AmeriCall additional financial and marketing strength. With 1,000-plus customers worldwide, Teleperformance is present in 42 countries with over 56,000 workstations and 263 contact centers, giving it the largest geographical coverage for outsourcing in the world. More than 1 billion contacts in 60 languages and dialects are treated each year from the 30,000 partners and employees who work daily in its multimedia contact centers. You hear that? These bastards brag about outsourcing. No kidding. The largest geographical coverage for outsourcing in the world. If I was them, I wouldn't brag about that, because outsourcing is a problem, not a solution. Now, who is Teleperformance? Since AmeriCall Group is owned by Teleperformance as of 1998, who is Teleperformance? Well, the largest global footprint in the industry, 281 contact centers, presence in 45 countries, servicing over 75 markets and 15 nearshore and offshore locations. Teleperformance is run by a man named Daniel Julien, Jacques Berrebi, and Michel Péchard. No, I'm not deliberately mispronouncing their names. They're Frenchmen. Now, I love the French. I love French cooking. I love French wine. French beer, not so much. But some of it's okay. I love the fact that the French people are able to go to the doctor when they're sick. I'm not some right-wing gas bag who screams about freedom fries and freedom toast. You know, we talked about a little bit of that last night. Remember the idiots out there pouring French wine down the drain because the French wouldn't join us in raping Iraq? Yeah, me too. It's amazing to look at Teleperformance's map. They're in Alaska, Canada, Greenland, the United States, Mexico, Brazil, Argentina, France, Spain, Italy, Great Britain, Norway, Finland, Sweden, Russia, China, Japan, Korea, Australia. About the only places they're not is in Iraq, Afghanistan, Iran, and Tibet. They're in India. And this is the outfit that John McCain hired to call Barack Obama un-American. Yes, teleperformance. As led by Daniel Julien, Jacques Derrida, and Michel Pechard. Wow. Just wow. And they're proud of what they do. They'll, you know, they're kind of like Larry Darrell and Daryl, I guess, from the old Newhart show. Anything for a buck. Let's see. Members of the supervisory board. Martin Dassault, Daniel Bergstein, Bernard Kennedy, Eric Delorme, or Delorme, I don't know, no accent ague over the E there, Delorme. Philippe Santini, Alain Laguio, Alain Laguiomi, Philippe Genestier, and Philippe Dominati.
Don't sound too American to me, Muriel!
But why are we surprised? The Bush administration hired Indian outsourced telemarketers in 2004 as well. This time through, they thought they would make Americans because it just really wasn't. You can't do the sleaze call on Barack Obama with a foreign accent now, can you? Or shall we say a nearshore accent or an offshore accent? Yeah, the teleperformance. Yeah, because it ain't teleperformance. Their logo, by the way, is supposed to look like a globe with a little headset and mouthpiece microphone on it. It really looks more like a hand grenade, though. Or maybe a landmine. Ah, yes, they're a citizen of citizen de la monde. They're proud of the fact that with some of the money that the Republican Party gave them, they're going to do telemarketing for starving children. Now, see, I personally don't think that the First Amendment would suffer grievous harm if we agreed that people cannot use your telephone to invade your home by ringing it at all hours of the day and night to sleaze a political opponent. That wouldn't hurt the First Amendment in the least to acknowledge the sovereignty of a telephone number holder over that telephone number. Because you do realize, don't you, that while you may have gotten on the no-call list and gotten some respite from, you know, "Hi, I'd like to sell you some insurance." By the way, that's the guy, how the guy at Americal got started hustling insurance over the telephone. Can I sell you a new set of tires? Hey, or what I used to do, and like I said, there's a warm spot in hell for me, hustling AOL or credit cards back in the day. No. See, you can get blocked of all of that by signing up for the Do Not Call list. Might take a little time, but the stuff will die down as the list is generated and regenerated. But citizen, you have no right to demand that political hucksters not call you during an election season. Simply put, the Do Not Call list does not apply to so-called political speech. For instance, I won't presume to speak for anybody, but I would just about guarantee that our listeners in California could tell you that they have had a steady diet of vote yes for hate or no on hate robocalls and solicitations recently. See, that's the thing. It's a weird view of the First Amendment. Just as the right-wing religion industry will not acknowledge that the First Amendment also protects you is not just about freedom of religion, but freedom from religion. No one seems willing to acknowledge that the First Amendment protects you from not having to deal with political speech. You know, we generally laud those Supreme Court decisions that say, no, I'm sorry, the stripper is actually an artist, and, you know, all you weird little fundamentalists are just going to have to deal with her and her artistic rendition of the Dance of the Seven Veils around a fire pole. Sorry. On the other hand, however, there's no acknowledgement out there that opting out of political speech is speech in its own right, that silence is speech, that there is, as has been said in the past, that there is music in the silences between the notes. So again, you know, I'm not one of those xenophobic people. Albert and I were talking about the fact that I'd love to be able to travel the globe. Mercy. I'd love to take my little rig with me and just set up and hook up to the internet and broadcast live from Lord knows London, the Highlands of Scotland, the Loire River Valley of France, somewhere near the Black Forest in Germany, from the foot of the pyramids on the Yucatan Peninsula, somewhere deep in the heart of China, India. The world over. I'd love to be able to do that and just travel. The biggest thing for me, you just won the lottery. Where do you go first? Not what do you buy first. Where do you go first? Woohoo! Get the passport! Because I'm going to see some stuff before I shuffle off this planet. So I'm not like that. But if the for-profit media actually started asking questions, you know, why is John McCain hiring a French firm to do his robo-sleazing? Oh, that's not going to play well with the faithful now, is it? They're not going to like that at all. What? Muriel! That communist on the internet's saying that John McCain's hiring the French. You reckon there's any truth in it? Yeah, it is. It's true. C'est la performance. But you know what? A little golf clap for working people. For the 36 brave souls who walked off the job in Indiana today rather than read a filthy little hate screed against Barack Obama. Now all we need to do is make sure that their jobs are protected and that they can't be retaliated against. Because you know what? You generally don't go into telemarketing if there's anything else you can do. You really don't. You know, our buddy Matt called in last night and was talking about what he's doing. He's doing inbound stuff. He's doing, you know, customer relations. And even that he didn't necessarily want to go into. I mean, I went and did it because, well, I'm better than average on a telephone, and the next thing I was doing, next thing I know, I'm sitting in there talking about the merits of AOL and the America Online, please. And I'm coming home every day, and it's like, oh, honey, hot up the shower big time. I hate myself a lot. And that was right before we got the whole radio thing going. You see why I worry about this little effort of ours? I really don't want to go back to, you know, it could have been me. That's one of those it could have been me moments. It could have been me. And what would I have done? What would you do? They hand you the sleazy script. and tell you that if you don't want to read it, you can go home and you'll probably be retaliated against? Holy cow. You've got children to feed? You got to keep buying gas? You've got a power bill to make? And the choice is between not reading a sleazy script for John McCain or possibly losing the sole means of support that you have for your family? There's a hell of a lot more heroism in what those 36 people in Indiana did than meets the eye. The people's employers have them, you know, have them at a profound disadvantage. All they have is their labor to withhold. An employer can destroy your entire existence. But even in the face of that, 36 people in Indiana said, no! No! We will not participate. We will not be a part of this further pollution, this further perversion of the American political process. We will not! And of those things are heroes made. And I don't know if anybody's out there in Indiana, you know, what kind of labor protections does Indiana have? They're up to their eyeballs in pig licking, so I figure it's probably, I'm speculating here, I figure it's got to be a right to starve state. You know, if it was up to me, I'd be on the phone to somebody at the Communication Workers of America and say, damn it, you've got the opportunity of a lifetime. Get in there and organize. They've already stood up for themselves. Now you give them the help that organized labor is designed to give. But we don't know how many people worked at that call center. 3 dozen people walked out. How many people sat there and made the other decision and said, no, 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 I've got to have the check. If I don't have the check, I can't pay the insurance premium. If I don't have the check, my kids and I will be living in a cardboard box and winter's coming to Indiana. Hard, hard decisions. And when somebody makes one the right way, Lord, they deserve all of our support and all of our respect. Let's go to the phones and see what's going on. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, good evening, Bob.
Hey, Ed.
Good message. They got these people you're talking about, the ones that walked off. They're trying to put them like the old coal miners thing under that yellow dog contract. You know, if you don't do this, your job's on the line or you don't have a job.
Right.
And I agree with you 100%. And, you know, I was going to talk on a different subject, but that is so interesting on this invasion of privacy. You know, it takes a damn fool to see, pardon my French, if that ain't French, but anyway, pardon
yeah.
What I said.
Don't worry about it. We don't sweat the language around here.
Okay, well, it takes somebody that's sure not knowing or not in the know to think that our privacy, all of it, is gone. When you got instruments that can be 100 yards away and determine what you said on the phone or what your conversation is in your house, or it's like now they got a right dream, can't even leave her phone on in the hospital because somebody will ring in on that on these advertisements that you're talking about. And if you know, to think where we've come from out of even the 70s up to now is a pathetic situation.
Have you been getting any robocalls or anything there?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I mean, we can't leave her cell phone on. She's allowed to carry her cell phone where she works, but she's not supposed to have any incoming calls, and she leaves it on in case there would be an emergency in the family.
Right.
But she gets these calls right on the job, so she has to turn that phone off to keep from getting in trouble. That's how intrusive that the situation is. And I get these calls all the time, and I'm supposed to, you know, I put in way back there, what, 3 or 4 years ago when they said to call such a number to make
sure. Yeah, to get on the do not call list, sure.
Yeah, I get these calls from these damn cops, and they don't know how much I despise them to start with on giving them donations for different things, you know. And the main thing is our taxes are supposed to go for part of what they're talking about. But I don't have, you know, especially the kind of deputies that we got in this county are nothing but a bunch of scum. Now, I don't know, I don't think money makes scum, or it don't make them or break them. They're that when they're put on. And if somebody said if you pay them more money, it'll get the cream of the crop. I don't think money makes the cream of the crop. People are either good people or they're rogues to start with. And that's what we got here. It seems like, and even the one that's still sheriff and going down to Charleston for the Senate is nothing but a piece of crap. And, you know, anybody that as old as he is, it would go out with and seduce a 20-year-old girl. I call that age, 20 years old, and make her pregnant, break up his home life, and one of the sheriffs over there decided that a lot of young girls was a lot better than his wife, so he left her. That's kind of the police that we got. That's kind of calls that you get, and them wanting you to support some project they got going. I'd tell them what kind of project I'd like to support for them, and I'd tell them to their teeth. I'd love for them to be listening to your program. Most people in this county know what they are, and then you got people that called Steve O'Brien's show and taken up for him, said we should walk up to them, tell them how we appreciate them. You know where they got their head.
I know
they got in it.
It's a two pronged problem, isn't it? Where their head is and what's in it. You hit it right out of the park.
If they got their head where I think they got it, they couldn't pull it out without having the wrong thing in it.
Yep.
But I just wonder what you think about the election. I'm gonna get off of that because I get my blood pressure too high talking about these dang gone stinking cops. Because I see them every day, you know. When I'm out, I see what they're doing. And at night, you can drive anywhere and you see a couple carloads of them coal trailing. That's what I call it.
Yeah.
And I want to get off of that before I get my blood pressure too high, and I'd talk to you about the election and what do you really think of that it's coming down to.
Well, I hope among other things that when Bill Clinton gets here, he can change some minds.
Yeah. Well,
they just announced that that's been changed, you know, from Thursday to Saturday. I guess maybe venue problems or bigger crowd than what they expected. And, you know, he's a rock star around here, so it's not surprising.
Yeah. Where is that going to be at, Bob?
Well, they haven't announced it yet. It was going to be downtown in Beckley, but I don't think they had enough parking or enough room for people to be there that wanted to be.
Yeah. Well, I figured they'll use the community for the aging thing. That holds a pretty good bit. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, they had a tremendous crowd there for McGraw when he come up here, when they was going to investigate
yeah.
his gas prices.
Well, I don't know. I hope, you know, I want to see West Virginia do the right thing so bad. I really, really do, Ed. We've got to be smarter than to vote for John McCain. Surely.
Bob, it ain't got nothing to do with smart. It's got to do with ignorance. It's got to do with color. And when your stupidity sinks lower than your prejudice, or it overrides your prejudice, then we're in a bad shape. And that's where West Virginia is, or at least that's where it appears to be. Maybe they'll change their mind because people's signs for Obama are being stolen. And I mean, they're coming in after dark and getting your signs.
Well, that's, you know, that's the big difference. Nobody around here is getting, well, a kid tried to steal a McCain sign in Ohio, what we were just talking about a few minutes ago, and got shot for it.
And you know, probably won't get a thing out of it.
The shooter's been charged, but whether, you know, probably get the plea bargain down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a darn shame. But somewhere out there, I'm sure there's already some right-wing yammerhead or blogger or something sitting around in his pajamas who's, oh, this is politically motivated. The man's being persecuted. He had the right to, because the guy said he fired warning shots, you know, but he put two bullets into the van and one into the kid. That's some warning shot.
Yeah. Well, maybe some good will come out of it. You know, it'll show what McCain people are.
Lord, haven't we had a chance to find that out now, Ed?
Well, some people, it's like the fellow me and one of my friends got into it with that made the statement, if George Bush jumped over New River Gorge Bridge and he told him to follow him, he would. You know, when somebody's got that kind of monopoly on ignorance, you know, I'd say that the sky's the limit for people like that.
Well, I figure you're probably right, but as far as, I don't know, I'm crossing my fingers, Ed. The poll numbers are certainly looking encouraging. And yeah. if what we were talking about earlier in the program, if Virginia goes or North Carolina or Lord knows Georgia, if Georgia goes for Obama, it's over. If West Virginia goes for Obama, it's over, because that means the racists have lost and the racism campaign has lost.
Yeah. Well, when we called in, what was it, yesterday, there was some good follow-up calls on liberal-type Democrats after, you know, I made a call. You know, there was two or three good calls made after that. So that's the main thing. If we had, and I've spoken of it before, we need a station or a owner station type thing where that, and I don't mind listening to idiots like that, but we need equal time at the very least. You know, the way it was set up over there was really good. And, of course, it's like unions, Bob. They're not going to let good, long, lasting unions that are for the right thing and can control counties and maybe half the state in politics, they're not going to let them exist. The only way that they can exist is if they got a monopoly on the situation like coal has. But these plants, we got so political strong that they could not let people like us expand and exist, and that's what we were doing. We were organizing in fact, I was told that I'd organize a chicken farm if they had one. So they're not going to, and a long time ago, somebody said, we'll give them a dollar raise, but we'll never give them Washington. And I'll be danged if it ain't, I mean, it's gotten worse, a lot worse since that. So that's where we are politically. And I'm not sure just how much it changed, because, you know, even the Congress, they call themselves liberals, Democrats, and whatever. But when it comes down to making some critical choices, they're going to scratch their hand and head and wonder if that's the best bet for them. And McCain, you can look at him. He's all about ego. You know, look at the statement he made about Commander-in-Chief. You know, they're really gung-ho on that thing. Commander-in-Chief don't mean as much as being president and doing the right thing.
Commander-in-Chief only kicks in one. It's not a permanent position.
That's right. It's a wartime situation.
And for that, and you know, if you want to get right down to it, George Bush has never been commander-in-chief because there has never been a declared war.
No. And, well, George Bush ain't been nothing on nothing, has he now, really?
Well, not really.
But anyway, I just wanted to call and say me too to what I heard of your program tonight. And have you got somebody else waiting?
No. Take all the time you need. I just had a couple other stories I was going to hit on the way out the door as we close the program.
Well, I'd rather hear your stories. My story is about the same thing, you know. So I would rather listen to you than to tell you to get anything off my chest. But I despise the lying, conniving people like Sarah Palin and John McCain and all the likes of them. And you're talking about grabbing at straws. Or they better be glad they ain't in water because straws don't hold up too good. But anyway, I'll get off of here, and I want to...
All right, I'll put you back on hold so you can keep listening.
Yeah, sure thing. And thank you.
Oh, always my pleasure, Ed. Stand by.
Okay.
All right. Okay, what a... I used the story of the workers in Indiana as a moment of heroism. Now, you want to talk about courage? You want to talk about hardcore courage? What if you were a lawyer and a member of the military, and you were under orders to participate in the phony defense of one of these kangaroo court trials down in Guantanamo Bay? You know, nothing resembling justice. No chance to confront accusers, nothing constitutional about it. But your commission rides on it. And you've been assigned to attempt to defend one of these individuals in this charade that passes for the so-called military tribunals. Well, that's what's going on. Air Force Major David Fracht is an appointed defense counsel for Ali Hamza al-Balul. Ali Hamza al-Balul faces a possible life sentence. Well, I guess he's getting off easy. He's not facing death. And realizing that he is participating in a farce, we have no way of knowing. No way whatsoever of knowing of the guilt or innocence of anybody being held at Guantanamo Bay because they are not being subjected to anything remotely resembling a judicial or justice process whatsoever. So Ali Hamza al-Balul is on trial for literally his freedom and his life, and he has made it clear that he will refuse to participate in the show trial. And he says he's going to boycott the trial because he didn't want an attorney appointed from the United States military. And for someone not familiar with any of our processes, you blame him? I mean, when the military's trying you, and the military's defending you, and the military's judging you, and the military's going to execute the sentence, put your feet in that man's shoes for a little bit and see if you think you're getting a fair shake. So he said he's going to boycott his own trial. And he is repeatedly asked to represent himself in the process. And the military judge of the military tribunal at the military installation at Guantanamo Bay has refused his request to be able to defend himself. That alone creates problems. But Air Force Major David Fracht, who was assigned to defend Ali Hamza al-Balul, asked the kangaroo court to relieve him of his duties as a lawyer to Ali Hamza al-Balul in deference to his client's wishes. The judge refused that, too. And that is when Air Force Major David Frocht made perhaps the most difficult decision of his entire career, and quite frankly, the most patriotic decision of his entire career. That's when he said, I will be joining Mr. al-Balul's boycott, sitting silently at the table. And then Major Frocht refused to respond to any questions from the kangaroo court judge. That judge, by the way, is Air Force Colonel Ronald Gregory, who is only following orders. Where have I heard that before? Only following orders. He commanded Frocht to participate. And he said that they would be required to attend the hearings, even if they remained silent. Air Force Colonel Ronald Gregory said, the commission will not proceed with an empty defense table. Well, why not, Colonel? Why not? Is it because if they didn't show up and they sat there and you had to try an empty table, that the last veneer would finally come off of these stupid, stupid, unconstitutional, hateful little court of star chamber proceedings? Is that what it is, Colonel? Sure it is. Sure it is. For all intents and purposes, the Bush administration is trying Ali Hamza al-Balul in absentia. Even if al-Balul had participated, he would have been tried in absentia because he is not allowed discovery. He's not allowed to know what the nature of the charges are against him. He has been held without charge. Nothing has been even remotely resembling the justice that's guaranteed in the Constitution of these United States. And Ali Hamza al-Balul and his patriot lawyer, Major David Frocht, are standing up in the face of some of the most withering heat imaginable. You know, by the time you get to where you're Major something or Lieutenant Colonel something, you're kind of in it for the career, aren't you? Major David Frocht just said to the world that the Constitution of the United States and the most essential basic principles of jurisprudential fairness are far more important to him than an Air Force career. And again, as was the inquiry with the people who walked away from their jobs yesterday in Indiana, imagine the immensity of the pressure, of the heat. Imagine. I don't know if Major Frocht has a wife and children. I don't know if he's single. But I know he's a lawyer. And I know that for a lawyer to look a judge or even a colonel in a kangaroo court trial in the eye and say no, I can't imagine of a more terrifying circumstance for a lawyer. To directly disobey the order of the court? That's the kind of stuff that winds up with disbarment, at least, and prison at most. Dishonorable discharges and things like that. Knowing all that, David Frocht said no. Oh, maybe it's all just theater. Maybe Colonel Ronald Gregory set this all up. We have no way of knowing. But we do know that someone inside the system is rebelling against it while we criticize it from the outside. And I have no way of getting, there's nothing here that says to get a message to or anything like that. But the least we can do, the very least we can do, is to acknowledge the outright heroism of Major David Frakt, and frankly the courage of Ali Hamza al-Balul. We don't know what he's been subjected to, except for the fact that he's been a caged animal for a period of years. And I'll tell you what, I don't know much about Colonel Ronald Gregory, but I know that Major David Frakt certainly appears to be a patriot. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, what's up, man? It's Nick.
Hey, what's going on, Nick?
What are you doing, man?
Oh, just, kind of wrapping stuff up.
Yeah, I heard you talking about Guantanamo, man. That's scary stuff.
Well, can you imagine being down there and looking a judge in the eye and saying, I ain't going to do it?
Yeah,
man, they put your butt in a cage with the other people.
Yeah, man, that is so tall. That is such a big act, man. Respect to that guy.
Oh, big time. Big time. And I guess desperate times call forth the real courage that some people have in them.
Absolutely, man.
I mean, this guy went to law school, you know, sitting in the law library briefing cases, worrying about his property exam, maybe 10 years ago or something. You reckon this guy ever imagined he'd have to stand up in Cuba?
Never. Ever. You know he didn't, man. The scary thing about Guantanamo is just the way they got that set up, Bob, you know, no hope of ever getting out whatsoever, no trial, none of that stuff, you know. Man, some people don't forget that kind of stuff, man. That's crazy.
I mean, there's 255 human beings still at Guantanamo. We don't know if they're guilty. We don't know if they're innocent. And and at this point in time, there's no way of actually knowing if we will ever know. Because everything that the government puts forward is, I mean, you know, Ali Hamza al-Balul has likely been tortured, Nick.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I mean, what would any of us say under torture?
Exactly right.
You know, because, you know, with me, all you got, all you got to do is, you know, hold up the water bucket. And I'm like, wait, what do you want to know?
Yeah, no thanks.
What do you want to know? Tell me what you want to say. Bring the thing here, whatever.
Yeah, it'd be one of those where do I find moments for most people, seriously.
Yeah. So, you know, that's you're right. That's mighty tall. That is mighty tall.
It's just unreal, man. Guantanamo is just almost unthinkable. I can't even believe it.
Well, it's got to be one of the first things Obama does is shut that thing down.
Oh, God, man. That is so crazy. I just wanted to chime in about that, Bob. I know you're getting ready to wrap things up.
Well, I appreciate you doing that, Nick. Everything else going all right?
Yeah, man. Everything's good.
All right. Cool, man. Thanks.
All right, Bob. You have a good night.
You too. Bye. It's our buddy Nick down Cold River Way. I like what he said. That's tall. That is, hey, you remember the movie Walking Tall? Yeah. That's a man who can hold his head up. Hold his head higher than any lawyer in this country. That's a man who can hold his head higher than any Scalia or Alito or Thomas or Roberts or Kennedy, any of those thugs on the Supreme Court. He can spit in their eye. Because it came down to choices, and he chose the Constitution to which he swore an oath. Hooray for him. or perhaps in some circles, God bless him. And that's the program for tonight. Thanks for joining in, however you did, your calls, your emails, your participation in the chat room, or listening live or via podcast. Thanks for the haiku, Tom. And I hope you'll be with us tomorrow evening. Of course, tomorrow's prayer meeting. And then again, on Thursday, we're on the road to West Virginia State University at Institute West Virginia for the Seneca 2 Lecture Series. And Rabbi Waskow, and I think you're going to be amazed at what you hear. Thanks always, of course, to John Fox and Peter Godbold, respectively our chief engineer and our IT professional. Thanks to Ben Birch, the hardest working, most overworked man in liberal talk, WhiteRoseSociety.org, your home for all the podcasts and archives of all the programs on the Horn. I expect Guy James back tomorrow afternoon. He's been on the road, so I hope you'll all be tuning in for that. And many thanks, of course, to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and coalriverwind.org. They're standing up, and they're fighting the fight, because they realize that we are all downstream, and we are all downwind. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you.
So your neighbor defaulting on his mortgage is not...
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. Whenever a campaign is falling apart, everyone starts to point fingers at each other. And that is certainly true with John McCain and Sarah Palin. I don't mean to say it's unique to Republicans. Look at how many Democrats can't say the word John Kerry anymore without a sneer, the man who was our hero 4 years ago. And while I am not the biggest Kerry fan in the world, I perhaps won't diss him as much as Democrats do. In any case, it gives me some joy and pleasure and even a little bit of, pity to watch John McCain and Sarah Palin snipe at each other. The two of them are going at it, mostly behind doors, to some extent in public. It is Maverick v. Maverick, and the angry clash between Palin and McCain was once an inside scoop, but is now more and more being told in the press. You see, John McCain's people didn't think that Sarah Palin was ready for prime time. Sarah Palin insisted that she was. So John McCain's people decided to give her really easy interviews before, let's say, Sean Hannity and all of the right-wing mob at Fox News, and also decided to give her the easiest possible interviewers, the people considered to be complete lightweights, Charlie Gibson and Katie Couric, people more known for the morning shows and, say, the hard-hitting interviews of a Dan Rather or a Tom Brokaw or somebody like that. But she failed. She failed in those interviews. And what's fascinating about the whole McCain-Palin squabble, and we'll give you the details right here throughout this hour, is that it foretells, I think, a civil war that is brewing in the Republican Party. And I got to say, well, as a Democrat, I'm pleased to see it. I'm pleased to see the fiscal, the economic conservatives go after the Christian conservatives, theological conservatives, and it's nice to see them at each other's throats. But also, as an American, I have to say that I hope they can, that the Republican Party can come to some form of coherence. They haven't been coherent at all in the past, what, 6, 8, 10, 12 years. It'll be interesting to see who wins the fight. Right now, the fight is, I think, between intellectuals and ignoramuses. The Republican Party has become the party that hates intellect, that hates intelligence, that hates education, that supports, let's face it, flat-out ignorance. It reminds me, really, and this isn't the first time this has happened in American history, but in the 1830s, with the campaign of Millard Fillmore under the Know-Nothing Party, K-N-O-W, nothing, Know-Nothing, a party that proudly took on the criticisms of its opponents and said, yeah, we know nothing, we're proud of it. It was a fierce, anti-immigrant, nativist party that basically said, America first, and all you non-Americans will, you know, get the heck out of our country. Really, the Sarah Palin is the, she may not know it because, well, I don't think she studied much of American history, but she is the descendant, the intellectual descendant of the ignoramus party. Kind of ironic since the intellect isn't there. But what's fascinating to me is as I watch the rats run off the sinking ship of the John McCain campaign, it's fascinating to see particularly Republican intellectuals recognize they can't vote for this ticket. I'm talking about such famed people, of course, as the son of William F. Buckley, Chris Buckley. Now, William F. Buckley is the patron saint of conservatives. He is the founder of the conservative movement. He was, no doubt, an intellectual, a very intelligent man.